Listen up. The ratings just came in for last month. We are number one. We just grabbed every key demographic.
Super duper, gang.
Yeah.
Super duper.
That's nice. Way to go. Neato, gang.
Yes.
Boy, that is good news.
Do you feel blame? Are you mad? Do you feel like Wolf's Kebab's right for Anish? Get Frenis, Boots, Boots, Boots,
Boots, Boots, Boots, Boots, That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It is the 30th day of March, 2020. Good morning, everybody. It's Monday morning. My name is Chris Hockey. Thank you for tuning in. The Power Trip, we are here, and we're glad you're here as well. I know the news is mostly bad and quite scary from time to time. We're going to do our best to take your mind off that in any way we can. Keep on moving forward. Try not to worry too much about the things you cannot control. And remember, a smile helps everything, a stranger and yourself. What you are going through, what we are going through, is not easy. I salute you. Humanity will make it through this. We will make it through this. And on the other side of it, we'll be smarter, we'll be better, and we're going to have us a party. Our comedians are Daniel Tosh and Jerry Seinfeld. Here we go, everybody.
Gave a commencement speech recently at a high school, and that didn't go well at all. A bunch of high school kids, parents that are proud of them, and I'm belittling the entire thing. And the administration got really upset with me. They're like, we didn't know you weren't going to take it seriously. To which I replied, really? You thought this was where I was going to get serious? High school, how did you do it? No, I refuse to give that generic speech. As I look out here, I see future lawyers and doctors. I gave the real speech. There's felons here. Explain to me why a dose of reality before community college is a bad thing. Because I certainly don't need to pander to the 1%. They don't need my little pep rally. They're going to be just fine. Nobody's turned it around because of the commencement address. Excuse me? No, it just clicked. So you're saying I can be anything? Oh, yeah, that sounds way better than what I was going to do. I like this guy.
Oh, you're all excited when you get something, right? You bring it in, you open it on the kitchen table, the place of honor for the new arrival. You read the instructions, fill out the registration card. You may even join the club of other idiots that have this thing. And then some time goes by, and it slowly begins to dawn on you that maybe you're not going to be quite as keen on drying out fruit and storing it in your basement as you thought. So what do? You have to demote it. Objects start the highest level, visible in a living area. From there, it goes down to a closet, cupboard, or drawer. That's why we have those, so we don't have to see all of the huge mistakes we have made. From the closet, it goes to the garage, one of the longest phases in trashification. But the most definite. No object has ever made it out of the garage and back into the house. The word garage seems to be a form of the word garbage. That's what it is.
All right, March 30th. Welcome to the Power Trip Morning Show. I'm Corey. That's Chris. That's Paul. We
Get
made it
some.
Through another weekend. Get some, whatever
Get
that
some.
Means. Sure. Get some of that.
Get some, Hogs.
Get some.
Get some. Hey, there's Zach.
Hi.
Way back in the corner,
back
right
in,
where he belongs.
You know what? I apologize. He's not in the corner over there with you guys. But frankly, and I don't mean to start the week off poorly, but Sauce wasn't doing a good enough job keeping an eye on him, so...
Oh, my bad.
I put him over here. I'll keep him in the corner. I've stretched out the mic cord over into his corner so he can actually hold the microphone and sit there in his corner, so he'll be able... We'll be able to hear him today, but I can't...
Stretch that out.
Yeah. Well, it's as far as it'll go. It's a 30-foot cord.
What's it wrapped around in front of you, Hawk?
Don't worry about that.
It rhymes with Hawk.
Just pull it every now and again, if you would.
Yeah.
Hey, this is for Sauce, Corey. You ready?
Go.
You've been doing instead of trying to win, but I'm gonna guess that it has the word anal in it.
I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of a lot of situations where that's gonna work, but yeah, we might want to just have that on hand just
okay.
in case.
All right, maybe you like this one better. Hold on, hold on.
His head is too big for his body.
But then sometimes his body's too big for his head.
Brilliant. Where is that? Sounds like Rosie Perez.
Dude, it's Veep. It's just it's they
who the hell was that?
Just an extra.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But, what a brilliant line, though.
Dude, the whole show's great. I'm telling you, it's just so good. And then you got Ruthie, the single greatest female character in the history of television, who every time she's about to kick somebody in the balls says, "Get some!
Get some! Skinny bitch!"
You love her.
How many episodes of Ozark did you watch?
You know, I was just talking to these two about it right before we started the show. My goal was to watch the entire season. I can't do more than two episodes at a time. It's too heavy. It hurts too much. Did you watch it?
I'm through three episodes.
Yeah, we watched four.
I haven't seen any of it.
Dude, I mean...
It's great.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, but it's just like the first two seasons. It has not dropped off through the first three episodes for me.
There's great. A new character who I like, but I just know something bad's about to come.
Get some!
I couldn't,
skinny bitch!
Yeah, I couldn't love Ruthie more than I love her. When she, with the boat in the very first episode...
Right.
Get some!
Right.
Right? Then she kicks him in the balls. I love it. So, she's the best.
You know how Neil deGrasse Tyson watches movies like Gravity and sure. then just destroys how bad the physics are in the movies, and he always kind of goes viral for pointing out how awful the science is?
Yeah, right.
Even in movies that he likes, he'd be like, look, this movie was spectacular, but my God, is the science off?
Sure, sure.
I'm not Phil Hellmuth or Phil Ivey. But God dang it, no movie or TV show can get poker right ever.
Right.
And this is another example. Ruthie's running a $50,000 poker tournament. $50,000 buy-in. Buy-in. That's like ultra-high stakes, right?
Right.
Even the World Series main event is $10,000. Right? The biggest tournaments in this state are like $1,100.
Really?
Yeah, in this state.
No kidding.
$1,100 buy-ins. Like, a couple times a year, they'll have like a $2,500, sure, quote, high roller.
Right.
$50,000 buy-in on Ozark. And everybody at the table acts like they've never held poker chips in their lives.
Is that right?
They're all looking at him like, what do I do with these? It's like, you can't find nine people who can shuffle chips?
Right.
That's funny.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I get it completely,
And all of them are looking at their cards like, so is it my turn? It's like, you paid $50,000 for this?
Right.
I'm like, I can't believe a show that's so well run can't say, hey, we need a quick poker consultant to make this look legit.
Well, hell, they should have hired real poker players.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, big time.
But here's the deal. I don't even care where you film this. Let's say this is not in Los Angeles. I don't know where they're filming this.
Right? Atlanta, I believe.
Yeah, okay. Atlanta.
Let's say, I promise you they can find 10 local people who can shuffle chips and look like they've sat at a poker table before.
Go to the closest card club and go, hey, we'll pay you $200 a day or whatever.
Exactly. Hey, you're a poker guy, but do you want to be in a major, giant TV show?
Right.
We're not going to pay you much, but we need people that look like they know what they're doing.
We'll
that doesn't seem hard. Well, if you haven't seen that episode of Ozark yet, when it gets to the $50,000 buy-in, it's basically like the sales staff down the hall going, hey, we need you for a web video for KFAN.com. What am I doing? You're going to be a high-stakes poker player. I've never played poker. Perfect. Have a seat.
Right. Yeah, you're in.
Just super annoying. But whatever. That's fine. But the rest of it's fine.
By the way, this is
super nitpicky.
Go ahead, please.
This is a $50,000 buy-in, which means those are not... It's a tournament. It's a sit-and-go tournament. That means this is not a cash game, right? Spoiler. When the guy gets kicked out of the game, he flips the dealer a chip. Those chips are not worth any money. He, like, tips her, like, here is for you. These are tournament chips. That does not translate to real money. Somebody should have been like, it's a tournament. He just tipped her $0.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, we're going to need that back. You can't take... tournament chips away from the table. Those have to stay. What are you doing?
I would say that you're being very nitpicky, but if they were doing an episode on it and it took place on a radio station,
right.
and the guy was flipping knobs like crazy, I'd be pissed. Yeah. I'd be like thrown off by that.
But what I'm saying is you're doing a poker scene.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And everybody who plays poker is rolling their eyes going, this is so ridiculous.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're really placating, like you're like going, look, we need to get the poker people that are excited about the... what is it? Missouri Bell? Is that the name of the floating casino? The Riverboat Casino?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can suck some poker fans into this episode. And then you do everything wrong.
That's fun. You know, again, I completely understand why that would... I did not notice any of that, but how would I? Yeah, right. But I get it completely. You know, it's funny because the only... And this is a dumb thing to say. The only television show or movie I've ever seen do radio, like it really looked like a real radio show, mm-hmm. is Parks and Rec.
Oh, man.
Dude, that looks like a real radio show. Like, real morons sitting in their corners playing sound effects and being idiots. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, that's Douche Nation. Yeah,
looks, and I got to believe it's because Nick Kroll and those guys have been in so many radio morning show interviews. They know how big a douchebags we always are.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not flattering. It's not super flattering to the world of morning radio, no doubt.
Ah.
The douche.
What a great show.
We're dumb. We call our fans Power Trip Nation too, and everybody else does that across the country. But I just love that he calls his fans Douche Nation.
It's brilliant. It's the best. But it looks like a real morning show. It really does. Did you do anything fun this weekend? Did anybody? Did you, Corey? Anything?
Social distancing.
Yeah, I did that. I drank a lot of wine.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you becoming a wine guy?
I love wine. I went Kim Hockey on it.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I got a number for you.
Yeah, it was fun. I, you know, watched Naked Gun, Life of Brian, tried to watch Parasite again, but I was a little too tipsy to, you know, keep up with it, and it was sweet. Naked Gun's brilliant. I hadn't seen that movie in a long time.
It's brilliant.
It's so good.
So we're trying to find things to do with the kids that are like unique or different to keep them occupied through this time. So about a year or so ago, we had this idea because it was on one of Harper's TV shows to do a backwards day, where you wake up and time is different, right? So you basically have ice cream first thing in the morning, dinner is basically breakfast, right? You basically do your day backwards. You don't have to wear your clothes and stuff backwards, you just do time backwards, right?
Yeah.
So we're like, let's do backwards day tomorrow. We'll flip the whole day upside down.
Huh.
We wake up, and I basically tell the six-year-old, all right, it's dinner time. What do you want for dinner? And she wanted breakfast, and the whole thing came apart. So we skipped the whole day. She's like, I want bagels and bacon. I'm like, what? That's not... She's like, I don't want dinner. I'm like, backwards day's dead.
Forget it. She killed it.
She killed it within the first 5 minutes. Didn't want to flip it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, you know, you need breakfast in the morning, man.
Yeah.
Then no time for games.
But then we did make Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits last night.
And?
Well, duh. Crushed them.
That's good.
That was my dinner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how unhealthy I've been eating during the zombie apocalypse here.
Yeah, it's been really bad for me. Really bad. I've gotten so fat. All my clothes are tighter. It's bad. Yeah, it sucks. All I do is eat.
Sounds like and drink.
Yeah, and drink. Yeah. But
that's great.
It's fun.
Good for you.
We did a virtual happy hour on Saturday morning with the Drunken Donuts Club.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
It's fine. It was good.
Yeah,
was good.
Those are fun, man.
Yeah, we made each other laugh.
Yeah, that's all. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
How did the trivia night bit thing go?
Really, I mean, we had a bunch of people tuned in. I couldn't believe it. But it was good.
That was Friday night?
Yes, we had a few issues that we will get ironed out. But we had, again, I was surprised how many people joined in. We had a lot of people. It was that I Don't Know Jack game, you know?
Yeah, which love is it. Fun, yeah.
Or You Don't Know Jack game, I guess. And so you can have 8 people play, and then the audience can be as big as you want. And we had around 100 people in the audience the whole time.
Cool.
Yeah,
sweet, dude.
So it was pretty good. AJ was great, and I appreciate all the help because I couldn't do any of that stuff myself. But we did that, and that worked out really well. So we're going to figure out ways to make it more fun. I still think that the best game for us to play, even if we were all in our own houses, is that golf club game.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm in.
It's hard, and everybody's equally good or bad at it. It doesn't matter, because you're obviously, if it was real golf, you're going to kill us.
Right.
But on a video game golf, it's fun, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's good.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it's good. Everybody
knows! Zach, did you stay away from everybody this weekend?
I did.
That's great, dude.
I Thank started you. Ozark, so I got...
Season one.
Oh, yeah?
And about 3 or 4 episodes in, and very, very impressed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Living up to
God, I just love
the hype.
Ruthie's the best.
Yeah. She is. I watched an interview with the real Ruthie. You know, she's a very prim and proper girl from New York. And she actually, during the one interview I was watching, showed how she does the Ruthie accent. It's incredible to see the transformation. Mm. It's pretty something.
I'm blanking on her actual name.
Julia Garner.
Gotcha. That is correct.
Wow. All right. Good work.
Yeah, she's great.
So we have a big guest slate today.
Yeah, slated to join, right? Ben Liebert, 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And if you saw the tweet yesterday, you're just on the edge of your seat to figure out who the rest of these guests are going to be.
It was a great tweet.
Ben Lieber is joining at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph is expected to join, slated to join around 7:40 for Vikings news.
Right.
And then Pittsburgh Penguin.
Mm.
Penguins.
Mm, pingling.
Penguins.
The Penguins.
Pingling.
Pittsburgh Penguin superstar Jason Zucker joins at 8:20. So Joe Exotic canceled.
He's in person. Speaking of Joe Exotic, when I was screwing around on the internet this morning and trying to find things, David Spade interviewed Jeff Lowe and his wife, or I think over the weekend on that TV, that Lights Out TV show he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating, the insight they give.
Which one's Jeff Lowe?
He's the guy that took over.
Yeah, the zoo guy. Affliction jacket guy.
Okay, yep,
but
right,
I put it up on the Power Trip page, and it's a dynamite interview.
Really?
Because
does it change the way you think about Jeff Lowe?
Yeah, a little, and like just the things that like they tell you that the documentary kind of, as they called, kind of just walk past and just didn't talk about, and they destroy Carol Baskins. They destroy her. But their whole thing is like, and it shows like Joe sitting at a zoo with his wife. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. It's on the Power Trip page.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'd give it a watch.
You know, I was wondering if the late night talk shows, when they get back to normalcy, you know, when they actually have audiences and they're back to up and running, if the people who are not in jail are going to be on shows like that. Like, for example, would Stephen Colbert have Carol Baskin on his show?
Yeah.
Because if this was not coronavirus time, this show is the most viral thing in the last two or three or four weeks.
Yeah.
You could book anybody from that show, and you're going to get people to watch just out of what you just did, morbid curiosity.
Yeah.
But are any of these people interesting enough, like, in that form as opposed to documentary form? Like, would you watch a 15-minute interview with Carol Baskin on Stephen Colbert's show?
Yeah, or if Howard had her on.
Well, if Howard did, that would be
great. Right.
God, I'd love to see him interview Joe Exotic.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
Can you imagine? Geez.
Yeah.
Instant whack packer.
Of course, no doubt. He's an honorary, right.
And they, of course, would call him the Tiger King.
Yeah, and of course, he'd play right into it like he does with all of them, yeah.
Did you guys see the picture of the one dude who got his teeth fixed?
Yeah.
It's David's unbelievable.
Yeah, Spade interviews him, too.
His IQ goes up 70 points as soon as he puts teeth in his face.
Right.
It really does.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, well, how do you think I feel? I'm smart.
That one hits a little too close to home.
His head is too big for his body. But then sometimes his body's too big for his head.
That's happening currently.
So here's another thing that happened over the weekend, but it has to wait for an hour. This is an hour-long tease.
Oh, my.
Because we have to wait for Lieber.
Oh, my.
It's over at Scooter and Felicio's house, social distancing the other day.
Sure.
And Scooter's got his, like, you know, his shuffle thing going on his speaker system, right? This is from his phone. So it's just whatever, his playlist or whatever is going through. This song's about 7 seconds in, I go, what the F is this? Like, and I wasn't even actively listening to the music, right? It hit me so immediately. I'm like, whoa, 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 what is this? And then I found out what it was about 3 seconds later, because then it's unmistakable. One of our favorite artists released a song like 4 months ago, and I just heard it yesterday for the first time. The album comes out in a month. And it rules. Yeah. And I'm going, where was this?
Oh,
and why has no one told us? So this may be a song that all of you have heard. Then I'm going to be mad at you for not sharing it with the class.
Was it that song?
So how all of us missed it, I'm not sure.
Huh.
And again, if you have heard it, November or December or whatever, and didn't share, I'm going to be even more mad.
I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, what a banger.
I
predict every person on the show likes it.
Hmm.
Including Lieber.
Oh,
that's
really?
Why we have to wait for Ben.
Oh, okay.
And that, I think of it, that's pretty rare, right?
Yeah.
Ben's got pretty eclectic taste. He's kind of all over the board, but he's hard to peg sometimes, right? You can't tell whether or not he would like something. I'm betting $1,000 American Ben likes this song.
Wow.
We'll do that after 7 o'clock.
Sweet.
What a tease. Hey, wow. I'm going to play a song in an hour.
That's a great
what
tease.
What a tease.
Yeah. Big set of tees on you.
Yeah, nice tease.
Get some, you skinny bitch.
Get some, skinny bitch.
That's what I said. Front Page Sports is next.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Radio station.
Hey, 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 good morning, everybody. It's 6 a.m. on the dot. It is the 30th day of March 2020, just back from Vegas. What a time we had.
God, that was great.
Fantastic. You really made a fool of yourself, Zach.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't get fired again.
I know, not yet. Wow. Yeah, you're probably going to have to...
Yeah, thank God we deleted the podcast.
Man, that was a lot of fun, too. We played the 300th game of initials there in front of a packed audience at Buffalo Wild Wings right around the corner from Planet Hollywood.
Really something.
Very humbled when I revealed the initials game. Board game to the crowd there, and I held it up like the Lion King.
Yep.
Right.
Man, you 300 or 400 people, let's just say I felt the love.
Incredible.
Especially when a lot of you directly came up to me right afterwards and like hugged me because we weren't social distancing.
Yeah.
That meant a lot to me. Yeah. So, man, Friday morning, lots of fun. 7 a.m. when we just started doing shots when the show was over was
so
the best.
So much fun. Zach Brown was great Friday night.
Yeah, all the food we had was amazing.
Brianna
yeah.
was pretty crazy.
She got nuts.
Yeah.
She really made a name for herself.
And her friend. I mean, my God.
Yeah. Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Did anybody bail Rosie out of jail or not?
No, he's still there.
Yeah, he acts.
Yeah.
He
deserved it.
To stay.
Yeah.
Dude, you can't yell that in public.
Nope.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he did that. Multiple times.
Right, on Twitter... That's cancel culture. If you tweet that, your career's over.
Agreed.
He yelled it for an hour on that bridge.
Yeah, with that megaphone that he bought.
Yeah, incredible. And made a giant sign.
Yeah.
Where did he get that?
Just don't know.
Freaking cardboard.
I think at Walgreens.
Really?
I think they have an arts and crafts section.
Right before we got on the plane yesterday, Lawyer Lambert and I went over to the jail and actually sat down with him, and he said, and I quote, I want to stay. There's plenty of sex in prison.
Mm-hmm. He did say that.
He said those exact words. So we're like, cool, he's happy. It's where he wants to be, and that's...
So how long is he going to be there?
25 years.
Yeah, I believe 25 years to life.
25 years to life,
No. That's what started the fight that ended in
there was a fight? I must have missed that.
There was a fight.
Oh, you
stabbed a guy with a scissor.
I was hooking up with so many chicks. It was sweet.
Oh, God, I remember that.
Yeah,
you were tweeting me pictures.
Yeah.
A scissor or a pair of scissors? Because there's only one. He stabbed a guy with a scissor.
Wait, a scissors?
Yeah, a scissor. Yeah.
Like the dull left-handed one that we had in...
That exact one, yes.
Oh,
that's he had in his pocket. It was
with the green
thing.
Rubber things?
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
25 years?
And he yelled, get some.
What if I did more? No, poor non-blondes.
Oh, great point.
Is it a great point?
Yeah.
I like that song, I
guess. So do I. Yeah, it's a good tune.
I'm trying to understand what part you were just singing, though.
Doesn't she say 25 years of my life's been grand or something like that?
No, 25 years of my life is...
still
trying
to get up that great big hill of hope. Oh, down there on.
Nailed it.
Hey, you sound just like her.
Thank you. Been working on it. It's like you and Joe Exotic, same
thing. Oh, snap. Look what time it is.
I know.
Yeah, 6:03.
It's 6:03. Still, Ryan, the gal bound, great big girl out. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I realized briefly when I knew I should that the world
made up of this brotherhood of man. For whatever that means.
Come on, Corey, sing it.
What the hell? hell's happening?
I nailed every note.
Keep trying, honey. You'll get it up.
Yeah, again, I was closer to Four Non Blondes than Joe Exotic was to his own songs when he sang in the truck.
I'm thinking of you, I'm getting real high.
I sing into my own songs.
Yeah, you do.
And I said, hey, speaking of that.
What?
I didn't think this would work. I really, really didn't think this would work. But about, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago, talking to my dad, who's damn near 82. He turns 82 in a little over a month.
Wow.
And I go, I'm about to suggest something to you that I'm probably going to regret, but I'm going to do it. I go, if you guys are sitting at home and you're, you know, coronavirus quarantined up, you might want to check out this show called Tiger King on Netflix that the entire world's talking about. Oh, you and Mom can sit through 7 episodes and it's something to do. You're not going to believe it. And I gave him the gist of it without spoiling it, but I basically sold it like everybody else sells it, that just when you think it can't get any weirder, 10 minutes later, something 5 times weirder takes place.
Okay.
I had a 20-minute conversation with my dad just today of us breaking down all 7 episodes because he watched it. It was a full Tiger King review. He said he wanted to give up after 3. Not because he didn't think it was fascinating, just because he said, I can't relate to one person in this show. He's like, these are all the worst human beings on the planet.
Yeah.
He said he had just had enough after 3.
Brilliant.
And my mom basically wanted to keep going, so he watched the rest. But I believe I said, do you think Carol Baskin killed her husband? And he says he doesn't think that that he went willingly, that he thinks that there was some
foul play
on some point. But I did not think I was ever going to talk to my 81-year-old dad about a gay polygamist, tiger zoo owner, and aspiring country music star.
Have you seen
and by the way, an aspiring presidential candidate? I didn't think I would break down a 7-episode documentary about one of those with my dad, but I did.
Have you seen the Stefan meme?
Brilliant.
Have
from
you
seen SNL.
It? Yeah, so the Tiger King has everything. Tigers, lions, murder, a gay redneck thruple. It's so brilliant. The whole zoo-based sex cult, a crazy cat lady, and country songs about tiger. It's just so good.
Time now for Front Page Sports, presented by Ryan Pasiga Criminal Defense.
Thanks, Ryan Pasiga Criminal Defense.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan.
Now that NFL free agency has slowed down, sports quote news has grinded to a halt, which is okay for our show. We can move on from some of this quickly. I only have like 3 or 4 things jotted down. This is all, and it's almost nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have 4.
Let's start with the Vikings news over the weekend. They did re-sign running back / kick returner Amir Abdullah. He's returning to the Vikings. He's 26 years old, 23 games over the last couple seasons with the Vikings.
Cool.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, you got Dalvin Cook, you got Madison, right? But it's a depth thing. It's the return play, right? Yeah, Marcus Sherrills isn't coming back.
No.
I'm going to assume they don't want Mike Hughes back there. So it's going to be Abdullah's job, right? I assume.
Hughes may be the number one corner when this all starts.
Fair. They also, over the weekend, signed Dakota Dozier again. Signed as a free agent in 2019, spent his first 5 seasons with the Jets, so he could be in play for the starting right guard. I don't know.
I think it's going to be
Drew Samia.
Yeah.
Either way, they did re-sign Dozier, so he's a depth guy. He's 28 years old.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I guess, right?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Knicks owner James Dolan tested positive for coronavirus with little to no symptoms.
Hmm.
Here's, like, you know when, with the three of us as polarizing radio figures, I'm walking right into this, but when a celebrity dies, the last thing you want is basically to have a huge group of people just go, well, that guy was pure garbage. Mm-hmm. Right? That was a garbage human being. Right? Even if people don't like us, I don't know if anybody thinks the three of us are garbage human beings, even if they hate us on the radio.
Yeah.
I hope not. Right.
It can't be good when you get coronavirus and Twitter is kind of excited.
Yeah.
That's how much people hate James Dolan.
Hate him.
Knicks fans hate James Dolan.
I think the NBA community hates him.
They just
him.
Want him out. Yeah. But so he gets coronavirus, and if you go on Twitter, there's a lot of Knicks fans that wanted to have a, championship-esque parade for James Dolan getting coronavirus. Think of that. Right. Oof. And he's just kind of a dirtbag. Like, I don't know if he's ever done anything, like, nefarious. But we're not talking Sandusky or Fogle or Cosby here.
No, but, like,
he's just kind of an a-hole.
From a sports standpoint, was it James Worthy he doesn't allow in the building? He kicked out Spike Lee. Like, he's just done these weird things.
Thinking of Charles Oakley.
Charles Oakley, yes, excuse me, yeah. It's just, he's weird.
Yeah, he's just a weird, not well-liked owner. But, like, for example, right, if Glenn Taylor got coronavirus, even if you're like, I really want Glenn Taylor to not own the Timberwolves anymore, Glenn seems like a good dude, though, right?
Right, yeah,
no one would go on Twitter and be like, finally, he can die and then we can get a new owner. We wouldn't do that, especially as Minnesotans. Maybe like three douchebags would say that. But the vast majority of people would be like, oh, that sucked, man. Glenn seems like a good dude. James Dolan gets it and Twitter was like, yes!
Right, they were,
That's not good.
Excited about it.
Anyway. What else did you have, Sauce? That's about all I have. The Marbury mask thing is cool.
Marcus Smart has been cleared. Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell obviously have been cleared. And then maybe the best news of the weekend, L.A. Clippers owner Steve Ballmer is donating $25 million to COVID-19 relief.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which some of that money is going towards speeding up the development of a vaccine. Hmm. So that's, that's positive. That's good news.
I have some sports news of the past.
Go.
On this date in 1981, the 43rd NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, Indiana beat North Carolina 63-50. Hoosiers future Hall of Fame point guard blank was named the tournament's most outstanding player.
Isaiah Thomas.
Look at here. Didn't realize he played for the Hoosiers. But I don't know anything about
him. I named my cat after him.
Isn't he the best Hoosier of all time?
Is he? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. He may.
I'm trying to think of anybody else.
I mean,
he's better than Calbert Chaney.
I don't know who that is. But if you put together an all time Big Ten team, he's the point guard. Well, maybe Magic.
It's probably Magic. Yeah. Duh.
Or Bobby Jackson.
Sweet.
There you go. That's my.
Does Chris Hockey know the college that Magic Johnson played for? Would you guess yes or no? You just said the conference, if he was listening. Mm-hmm. What do you know?
Yeah, because back when that was.
I think he knows
huge,
too.
Huge. It was the only thing.
I can't believe I'm going to say that, but I think he's going to get it.
It was the only thing on TV. Mm-hmm. And every time that team plays, they show him.
Should we see?
Zach, what do you think?
Well, I don't know.
Yes or no? You don't know?
No idea.
Where Magic Johnson played college basketball?
But I would think he'd have to know. I mean,
he was 10 years old when Magic was there.
There was like two channels back then, right? Right.
So you're saying yes?
I would say yes.
I say yes, Sauce?
I say no.
All right.
I say no.
Sparta!
Got it.
Thank you. I'm a sports genius. You sons of bitches don't know me at all. I know things about basketball that make your toes curl.
Where did Larry go?
Larry who?
Bird.
Indiana State.
Wow!
Correct. He's from Indiana.
Come on,
if
bitches.
He doesn't get that.
He didn't know.
Bring it on.
He didn't know Isaiah Thomas played at Indiana.
I did not know that.
That's a really good comeback.
Actually, I did not know
that. That's a great point.
I did not know that. I did not know. I really did not.
Yeah, that's true. That would be like...
What's more likely to happen? Chris Hockey name five current Minnesota Timberwolves.
0% chance. Zero.
What's more likely?
He can't do it.
That or tell us where Cowhide Leonard went to college?
Well, then it's Wolves because there's no chance. I mean, it's, again, whatever the number... 0 point and then 1.8 billion zeros and then a one, that's Chris's chance of getting Kawhi Leonard's college right. So I would just think if he really digs deep, he could have a chance at naming five Timberwolves, but that is like 0.2%. Take a shot at Kawhi Leonard's college.
I can't do either of those things. I don't know. I'm going to guess Concordia.
Concordia. I mean, that's the fact that that's a college. That's about as close as I thought you were going to get.
That's a parish guess.
He once guessed that Zion Williamson was a Gopher.
Sure. I thought he might have been right. I'd heard the name before. On this date in 1970, Secretariat was born.
The horse?
Yeah.
Cool.
So won the Triple Crown in what, 70?
No, the other Secretariat.
72? Are they two-year-olds?
The other one. Yeah.
Three-year-old.
Three-year-olds.
Yeah.
So 73?
Won the Triple Crown in 73. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool, man.
Man, horse racing. We need it back.
They were showing it yesterday. It's the weirdest thing ever, man. Between NASCAR on a video game, which I watched part of and looked so damned real, but then I turned it. And then horse racing from back in the day, they showed that last night.
There's some kind of horse racing going on because some of the gambling degenerates that I know are gambling on it.
I think it's they're gambling on past races.
No. I think
there's horse races with nobody in the stands.
In the stands. Yeah, like at Gulfstream or wherever some of these that are, they're all year because the weather's nice. Tampa Bay, I think is it Tampa Bay Downs? I think it's stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all happening.
Yeah. Wow. Well, good for the horsies. They get to run.
Yeah.
Put it on TV. I'm tired of who's the greatest college basketball player of all time.
I haven't turned on ESPN in a month.
They're struggling, man.
Yeah. Well, they're going to start replaying Monday Night Football tonight. And one of the games,
I think,
in 3 weeks is going to be the Vikings Packer game when Favre, I think at the Dome when Favre played here.
If I'm ESPN, I just call Netflix and say, can we just air Ozark?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Swearing and all.
Or just replay a bunch of old poker tournaments. That's more
entertaining. Or Stump the Schwab.
Yeah, right.
Or just go dark.
Or just play hardcore porn. One of the two.
I like a lot of your ideas.
Not that one necessarily, but I like
a lot of them.
One thing, I have something that Hawkey will watch.
What?
Auntie's TikTok.
Dear.
Yeah.
God.
I actually sent her a direct message.
Yeah.
Might have had a couple whiskeys in me.
Yeah, I texted her on Friday after I had a couple of White Claws in me. And
I go like this. I go, Auntie, TikTok's a good idea for you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if I may request more glasses.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You asked for glasses? I did. You're a dirty old man.
I did.
Oh, that's the creepiest DM of all time.
I just texted.
Please request more glasses.
Dear God.
So I'll read it to you.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
I said, you won the day. Hope you're healthy and well. And she said, thank you. I'm going to do more TikToks with them on. That's all I needed. I went in the bathroom with my phone.
Oh, Lord.
And
Christopher Allen.
Traffic.
Perfect boobs.
Yeah, they are.
I'd also like to see your topless.
Yeah, that would wail.
I'm just kidding.
Let's face it. Most guys are from the Dark Ages. They're cavemen. And they like a woman to be showing her cleavage and to be wearing 8-inch heels and to be wearing see-through underpants.
Yeah.
But for me, a woman looks best when she is just absolutely naked.
You know what? I agree with him.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not going to lie.
Perfect boobs.
All right, more of the Power Trip Morning Show after this. Ben Lieber at 7, Kyle Rudolph at 7:40, Jason Zucker at 8:20. We're back after this on The Fan.
The Fan. Good morning, everybody. It's 6:20, and it's the Power Trip Morning Show. Post Malone is hosting a virtual celebrity beer pong tournament for charity.
Cool.
Yeah. It's called the Ballina Cup. and it's being described as the March Madness of beer pong. It'll be on Instagram Live. All the proceeds will be donated to aid related to COVID-19. There's even a trophy. Some of the players will be celebrities. Machine Gun Kelly, Kane Brown, Trevor Bauer, Mike Clevenger, Travis Kelce, Danny Amendola, Johnny Manziel, Rob Gronkowski. There's a bunch of people. I don't know how they're going to do virtual beer pong, but sounds like fun.
Get creative. Whatever.
Yeah, why not, right? Gets to do something.
Hey, how do we feel about this?
Hockey just goes,
I'm trying
apparently
to decide.
Some people are now tipping their food delivery drivers with toilet paper. One guy's TikTok video of how they're tipping delivery drivers with bottles of hand sanitizer and packs of toilet paper has gone viral. His rationale is, quote, take care of people who are taking care of you. If you are a DoorDash person or Uber Eats or whatever right now, and you drop food off at somebody's house and they hand you a roll of toilet paper, I think 99 times out of 100 you're pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does toilet paper help with gas? I mean,
right.
It's ridiculous. And keep the lights on at your home.
So my dad once said, "Toilet paper won't pay your bills."
No. If it's
something like
if
that.
It's a tip and toilet paper, I think everybody's going, "Hey, that's kind of nice. Yeah. Thanks for the tip. Thanks for the toilet paper. I'll take it."
Yeah.
But if it's just toilet paper
or hand sanitizer,
I would definitely chuck it right back into a tree before I pulled out of the guy's driveway.
It might be a little different color.
Yeah. Well, hockey definitely needs S paper, right? Are you still looking for it?
No, I'm good now. Thank
you. Found it?
Yeah, I found some. Thank you.
Where?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, well, your lover needs it.
Oh, is that right?
100, and I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah, I've got some extra.
Yeah, let it, because he kind of forgot my mom needs it.
Yeah, no, I just I gave up wiping.
Your dad's so proud. That's going to be the name of your autobiography. I gave up wiping. The Chris Hockey story.
That doesn't make any sense.
It does not.
I don't know.
According to Walmart's Executive Vice President of Corporate Affairs, hell of a title.
Yeah, man.
They have seen a huge increase in the number of people buying shirts, but not the number of people buying pants. His guest, Dan Bartlett is his name, he believes it's because people need to dress professionally from the waist up for conference calls, like on Zoom or whatever, that people are basically no-pantsing it.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Like, Frank Vassalero famously does that. Rosen's told us that for years.
Yeah.
Wears no pants on Channel 4's news.
Tuxedo thong.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he's sitting next to his wife, so it's not like this weird HR violation.
He likes the way his butt cheeks feel on the leather of the chair.
So he does serious, horrible, terrifying, heartbreaking news in a banana hammock and nothing else.
Wow.
But from the chest up, he looks terrific.
Yeah. Whatever makes him comfortable, though. I want him to be, when he's delivering the news, I want him to be comfy.
Well, that's exactly what he is.
Yeah. I hate to see that chair, though, when he gets up.
Rosie has told me so many stories. Rosie said that the chair that Vassalero uses is nicknamed Scratch and Sniff.
Oh, like, wow.
Chris Schaefer started it way back in the day. Schaefer started it, but Rosie was quickly to jump on board.
It's the reason Paul Douglas left.
Very similar. How about this? This is a classic Walmart, but Walmart also says they've seen big increases in sales of cleaning products, entertainment items, arts and crafts, and DVDs.
Hmm.
Who the bleep still buys DVDs?
I like
that guy. Hockey.
I didn't say Blu-ray. I said DVDs.
Well, hockey's buying DVDs.
Who the hell buys DVDs anymore?
You never know. What if the internet goes down and you need to pop in a standard definition movie?
Ain't that the truth? Internet might go down, Core.
Pretty sure I'm going to survive if 21 Jump Street on DVD is not
so
available.
That scene I sent you last night from This Is the End.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God, what a brilliant scene.
Another great movie.
Great movie. I'm going to watch that again.
Thank you.
Get bonus features on Netflix.
That's true. Yeah. You don't get those.
Or outtakes, which you can just get on YouTube.
How have they not done, kind of bonus feature-esque stuff on Netflix? And also, how have, the stand-up comedy is huge on Netflix. How have live concerts not been a thing on Netflix yet in a major way?
I mean, I've seen a few of them.
No, I'm not saying there aren't a couple. I'm saying there is a giant catalog of stand-up comedy on Netflix.
Yeah.
5% as many concerts as stand-up, right? I can't believe bands aren't signing big-time deals to be like, we'll do a big-time Netflix special.
From a cool place.
Right, from a super cool spot, right?
I've heard it's very complicated with the record label and kind of licensing that out. Because I know I'm on a Shinedown fan group or whatever, and people But their guitarist is in the group, so he responds to people, and people are like, "Why haven't you released a live concert, you know, DVD in, you know, 10 years?" And he basically kind of went into more detail, but was like, "It's a very complicated process to film a show and release it on various channels." So that's the only thing I can think of as to maybe they. I don't know. Maybe they want it's Vivo or something. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Quello's got Vivo? Literally hundreds of them. Quello. It's like Netflix. It's all music documentaries and concerts.
Oh, really?
That's sweet. Yeah. That sounds good.
You watch that all the time, don't you?
I have seen. I'm not kidding you. Every one that I am interested in, I've seen almost all of them. The only problem I have with it, and maybe it's something to what he's saying back here behind me, Zach, is saying they don't add new ones enough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not kidding you. I've had it for quite a few years now. I've probably seen almost every one that I'm interested in on there. I've gotten to the point now where I watch ones I'm not interested in just to see if I might have my interest piqued.
Mm.
And sometimes I do.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes. Oh, I've got a cool show that you might think is ridiculous, but it's fun. Yesterday, for some reason, Netflix was messing with me, which is another reason I didn't get more Ozark in. It kept stopping and saying it was 99% buffering. Don't know what was going on.
Hmm.
Regardless, I went over to Amazon Prime, and Abigail is obsessed with London and all things England. She has been like most of her life. We watched this guy. It's called Walking Through History. It's 3 seasons. It's this English dude just walking through England and going from historic place to historic place. It sounds boring as hell. It's fascinating, man.
That sounds sweet.
Each episode's an hour long. Your dad, in particular, would love this show.
Because there's sex dungeons in London.
Yeah.
A lot of sex dungeons.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, lots. Oh, yeah. 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 And this one episode that we watched was nothing but Tudor England. And so it like followed where Marie Antoinette and all these. It was fascinating, man. But so if you like historical stuff, it's called Walking Through History.
Hmm.
And it's on Amazon Prime. All right.
Good right
point.
On.
Good point, man.
I wonder what's going on with your internet connection. The 99% buffering.
I don't know.
I wonder if that's a Netflix issue or a Wi-Fi issue.
Maybe too many people are using it in the house.
That could be.
Yeah,
could
the band. Well, isn't the bandwidth?
I don't think wine bottles have Wi-Fi.
They could be surprised the kind of wine that she buys.
Hmm.
Oh. Anyway.
How many, I didn't look ahead. How many episodes of Ozark is season 3?
That's a great point. I haven't looked ahead either.
I think they're 10.
10? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30 total. Ruthie.
But I got to tell you again, man, it's so hard to watch that show. It hurts.
So I'm gonna run through it today.
Mm-hmm. Weird question, but I thought this to myself watching episode 3.
Okay.
I wish my wiener was bigger.
No.
And then I thought,
oh, yeah. Yeah, I wish my hands were bigger.
You're gonna be floored by this, by the way. But I loved, even though it sucked, Teen Wolf 2 as well.
Of course.
It's an awful film.
It's Jason Bateman.
It's Jason Bateman and Send Me an Angel by Real Life's in the
great
montage.
Point. Great point.
It's not a great point.
Yeah, it's
no,
a great point.
I hate to disagree.
Yeah, no, it's a great point.
We're all supposed to be coming together.
Yeah, it's a great
to
point.
Agree, but that sucks.
Yeah, it's a great point. Now get your T words out. Oh, yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch.
The song Whales.
Get some.
So Teen Wolf 2, Jason Bateman, right?
No, of course.
At that point, his sister's a way bigger deal. Justine Bateman was on Family Ties. Huge deal.
Beautiful girl.
Jason's an afterthought.
Yeah, afterthought. He's a wolf.
Oh, man.
That's the only version. That's the only time I'm glad that it's screwed up in the system.
You would have never guessed watching Teen Wolf 2 that Jason Bateman would have been as versatile as he is, right? Arrested Development. He's freaking fantastic in Arrested Development.
Wonderful.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Ozark, all these other shows that he's been on and movies that he's been in. He's terrific. He's had a great career. And all I could think of when I was watching him last night, I'm like, as a guy that's aged really well, would I rather have Jason Bateman's hair or his face?
He's got great hair, man.
Yeah. He does. For an old dude, old means what? He's got to be close to your age, right? He's got to be late 40s.
I bet he's almost exactly
right.
My age.
So I'll let's check. Say a guy in his damn near 50.
Older, over the hill.
Almost perfect hair and a good-looking dude. Way better looking as a 48-year-old than he was as a 22-year-old.
Oh, my God. He was born January 14th of 1969, so he's 1 year older than me. One year older than me. I'm an idiot.
Oh, you're not.
He's 1 year older than me. You know who he reminds me of? Like, the shape of his face and stuff?
Mm.
Pete Buttigieg. And Pete's got great hair, too.
It could be related to Pete.
Yeah.
Pete's a good-looking old guy.
He's not old.
But now look at pictures of Bateman.
Actually, he's the same age, I believe.
Look at pictures of Bateman from 1980, whatever that was, 7.
See, I'm afraid to look up pictures of him.
So he's 18, 19 years old. He's a better-looking dude now than he was as a 20-year-old.
Oh, yeah,
we can all strive for
that. Crazy. There's no doubt about
it. I hope that's true for me.
Way better looking now. All right, so I answer the question, though. If you're that age, mm-hmm. or you are that age.
I am that age. Yes, thank you.
You can have one of two things. Bateman's face.
Yeah.
But you're a hairish.
Can I do whatever I want to the face?
No, it's yours now.
Oh,
so, I mean,
I
technically,
see,
right? Sure.
Yeah, do whatever you
want. Would you rather have his hair or his face?
Because I need a place to sit.
Use the chair from Frank Vassalero.
God.
I'd slide right off there.
Hockey, Napoleon and Bill and Ted
together.
How dare you? Man, I really would love to have big, thick hair like that.
His hair is insane.
It's great. Nice. I think I would take his hair. I've never had good hair, ever in my life. I need to watch The Outsider, by the way.
Yeah, another example. I've heard it's great.
Yeah, I know.
Bateman, and man.
When it comes to Ozark, is he like everything? Does he direct him?
I think
stuff
he directs it, or he's directed a lot of the episodes.
Because I saw an interview, again, I went down the rabbit hole, and he was talking about like the reason they put these symbols at the beginning of each show. Mm-hmm. Like that was like, and he made it sound like it was his idea.
Yeah, the foreshadowing
bit. Yeah, right. Which is great, because it always gives you just enough to intrigue you.
I love that show.
You know, something, yeah.
Right.
If you can get the wagon, that's funny.
Sauce, his hair or his face?
Well, I'd take his hair. I wish, I'd take his hair. His face, he doesn't
take his face. He's better looking enough than me that I would say that's a massive upgrade.
All agree with that.
But for sure.
Yeah, Sloth from the Goonies is better looking than
me. Oh, thank you. That's very
barely,
nice.
Though. Just a little.
Just barely. What if someone actually said that to you? Like,
and meant it?
Yeah, like, hey, man, I don't mean to be mean, but Sloth from Goonies is a tad better looking than you. You can't go on.
These are like the cards that Angie writes me for anniversary.
Let's see. Created by Bill Dubuque and Mark Williams. Starring. He's an executive producer.
Yeah, he's just printing money. He's good, not a super public guy, man. I don't see him doing the rounds very often. I don't see him on late night talk shows and stuff very often. He's kind of a keep to yourself kind of a guy.
Hey, would you agree with me, by the way? In season 3, they're spending way more time showing you just how beautiful the Ozarks is. I never got that at all, hardly, in the first and second season. But this season, they're doing a lot of overhead shots of just how beautiful the area is. And I'm
I don't know.
Wow.
I feel like they did that a lot in
you
the first
so?
Two.
Maybe
so,
I just didn't care as much.
I don't know.
Yeah, I noticed that in
I've
the
never
first
been.
Few episodes.
Have you been, Hawk?
No, I never have. I haven't. But somebody, who do we know, like, they grew up by there? It's somebody that's close to the show. Maybe didn't grow up by there, but went there a lot. Was it David Morgan, maybe? Somebody told us that it was just beautiful. I think it might have been David Morgan.
I'm trying to think who's a total backwards redneck hick.
Yeah, it's probably Morgan.
Going through my KFN Rolodex.
Yeah, that's Morgan,
Anyway, I don't know.
Was it Tackle Terry Tuma?
I don't think we've had Tackle Terry on for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think he ever brought that up. I don't think that's what we asked him. I don't think he led with that.
So you said you got through 3 episodes?
Through 3.
Oh, wait till episode 4.
The end of 3 was obviously a giant cliffhanger.
Yeah.
If it wasn't 10:30 last night, I would have been like, let's go one more. But
I know.
It was 10:30. I'm like, I got to work in 5 hours. I got to go to bed. All right. What really matters is next. Ben Lieber in about 25 minutes. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on The Fan. Hey, to listen to The Fan.
Hey, everybody. Power Trip Morning Show. Thanks for tuning in. Big guests on the show today. Kyle Rudolph. Me, or was that just a pocket doll? Ben Lieber. Just another pocket doll. Jason Zucker. Infamous pocket doll. In the corner is Zach. Of course, Corey and Saucy and myself are here. Live and in studio at 6:44. Thanks for tuning in.
You're welcome.
Good. Here's some of your favorite late night guests, or hosts, I should say, broadcasting from home.
Being cooped up in the house with children isn't easy, but there are a lot of things that you can do to avoid going crazy. You could cry in front of the kids. You could panic buy ramen on Amazon. Or you could go through 500 emails from major corporations letting you know that they're washing their hands now.
I really need to get out. I'm watching so much TV today, I accidentally called my daughters Kendall and Kylie. I saw a poll that said men are less likely to follow social distancing guidelines than women, which means a year from now, the only people on Earth will be 4 billion women and Dr. Fauci.
It is... Watching late-night talk shows right now, it's essentially the transition from Seinfeld to Curb. It's weird watching them without the laugh track. And, yeah. Of course, by laugh track, I mean they have a live studio audience, right? But it's weird to watch these jokes with no one laughing.
Yeah.
Because then
yeah.
you start to see, much like those sitcoms from the 90s, you start to see how weak some of the jokes actually are when you don't have a crowd almost pity laughing. It sucks.
Wait till you watch John Oliver without a laughter. Without yeah. I mean, not that he's sure. still funny. It's just so weird.
It's just different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not seen John Oliver without an audience yet. Just a couple episodes, or how
just
many has he done?
A new one,
just
yeah, one? Last night. So he's got, oh, good. He's got two of them now.
Okay.
Was last night's main focus the coronavirus? Or
Yes, coronavirus yeah. 3 now.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, good. Wow. There's sequels.
Good. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I like the work they do
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
What really matters is brought to you by our friends at CenterPoint Energy. Thanks, CenterPoint
thank
Energy.
Thank you, CenterPoint Energy. For all the energy, thank you.
Yeah, right on.
Right?
The Vikings re-signed Amir Abdullah over the weekend. We can ask Ben what he thinks Amir's role is going to be here in a couple minutes when he gets here, and we can maybe even ask Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah,
who
he's going to say terrible things probably.
I think so. Kyle will probably rip a current teammate. Probably, that's what he does. That's his track record. So Amir Abdullah back with the Vikings for now. What really matters, though, is this.
How am I like a shark? I'll tell you. Sometimes in a feeding frenzy, when they're just eating everything in sight, they accidentally bite themselves.
Because well, when they bite, right, their eyes roll back.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
So if it's a feeding frenzy, I assume they're not...
spinning, turning
right,
sideways.
They're not looking at anything.
Yeah. That was tasty and painful at the same time.
Speaking of painful, the video that Sauce posted of Jeff Lowe... from Tiger King, on with David Spade.
Hmm.
I've been watching the interview during the commercial breaks.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And David asked him about how it feels to get bit by a tiger. Kind of an interesting breakdown. He basically says the tiger teeth are mostly dull. So he's like, it's not about the cutting. It's the pressure. He said the bite that he had, the pain lasted for months. Because it's basically this super deep bruise that you can't shake. Because they clamp down so hard.
Interesting.
Ugh.
Yeah, he said, and this is, he was mostly being sarcastic, he said he does not recommend it, getting
Zach,
chomped by a tiger.
While you're sitting there in the corner today, thinking about what you did, try to get Jeff Lowe on the radio show, stat. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck with that, but
get it done.
That would be sweet.
Can I use that studio?
No, stay right where you're at. Don't move.
No, don't move.
You know who else we really
maybe
need?
Maybe hold your breath
and
for
I'm being
while.
Serious. You know who we should try to book? That bitch Carol Baskin.
Is that how we get
that's her full name, by the way.
Right, after that seven episodes,
is that
if
how
she's
we
the nicest person
oh,
of all time?
She probably is.
What if she is? What if they framed her to look like she may be a murderer? She may be an awful, controlling wife who has her absolute zombie husband just whipped.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That, yeah. That
what if she's just
changed.
The sweetest of sweetest people on the planet? Who knows?
She's got the eyes.
But even if she does, who cares, right? What if she's the nicest, and just because Joe Exotic calls her that bitch from Florida, Carol Baskin, so many times, by the end of the documentary, it does feel like it's her prefix. Like she went to school of bitchery.
Like that's when she's... when she's
that Dr. Carol Baskin? Nope, that's that bitch Carol Baskin.
She's applying for a credit card. She's like, where's bitch? Doctor, Mrs., Miss. Where's bitch?
Is there a GD bitch option? Because I've been called that a lot, too.
Where's the C word in here?
She's filling out her census 2020 form. Right. Just going, I know I'm a Caucasian, but Joe called me a C word, too, and I don't see it here.
Is that due by tomorrow?
I don't know.
Every time I fill mine out, it says that I made a mistake.
Yeah. It's.
What do you mean made a mistake? What are you
I don't
incorrectly
know. Like,
filling
I don't know.
Out
for like
one
every,
person?
Yeah. Every time I fill it out, it brings me back and it's like, you've made an error. This is, it locks me out.
I think that system screwed up because I tried to do the same thing and it cut me out like
right.
midway
yeah,
twice
yeah, yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Guard Dakota Dozier, also back with the Minnesota Vikings. He is 28 years old, will be in the mix for maybe right guard, who knows? Or at least a swing lineman of some kind, a depth guy, right? I think most people think he played okay, right? When he was in there?
Oh, sure,
he was
absolutely, okay. yeah. I would say that that's true.
And there was a lot of times last year that okay would have been better than whatever we had. A couple positions were not okay last year, but whatever. What really matters is this.
Sharks, one of the ways they hunt is by detecting the heartbeat of other fish from a great distance away.
What are you laughing at back there? The heartbeat stat?
I'm trying to find Jeff Lowe, you know? So I come up, pull up an Oklahoma Zoo Facebook post or Instagram post, and the comments are just crook, scumbag, dog trash, total loser.
Dog trash.
Dog trash.
Man, that's some weird trash.
Yeah.
What is trash to a dog? I mean, what won't, a dog won't eat. I mean, a dog will eat anything.
I would think anything.
Yeah, I mean, anything.
What is it that a dog says, I won't eat that? Is the dog named Meat Sauce?
Yeah, I mean, I got it.
Thank you.
The Georgia home of golfer Davis Love III burned down.
That sucks, man. Ugh.
Yeah.
That sounds like no one was injured, though, right?
Thank God.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Do you know they call him Pumpkinhead?
Who?
Davis Love. That's his nickname on tour, or was when he was on tour, because he has a giant head.
And he was in Return to Oz.
Here's something that might surprise you. I did not know that.
Do you know who Davis Love is?
Yeah, sure. Golfer. House burned down.
Brilliant.
What really matters, though, is this.
If you're an average sleeper, you'll roll over 12 times in bed tonight. Roll over, buddy.
Yeah, we should play that.
You want to see Meat Sauce roll over really quickly?
Sure.
Hold up your pinky.
Okay. Yeah.
Red Rover, Red Rover.
Shut up.
Roll over, buddy.
All right. All right, I'm in. Yeah, whatever you need.
Knicks owner James Dolan tested positive for coronavirus. He had little to no symptoms and then got just bombarded on Twitter with hate. What really matters, though, is this.
One in 10 children sleepwalks. Either of yours do that?
None. Nope.
No, no kidding. Boy, I was a terrible sleepwalker.
Were you really?
Just terrible. Yeah. Terrible. It must have been just horrifying for my mom and dad. I woke up one time and I had taken all my magazines. I've always been a huge fan of magazines. I don't know why. I'd taken all my magazines and I was sitting in on the floor of my bedroom with my magazines around me, like in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the night.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's basically paranormal activity.
No. Yeah. It must have been horrifying.
Good documentary.
I'm surprised they didn't put me up for adoption. I must have scared the hell out of them all the time.
You know
I would end up down the hallway.
Jeez. That's terrifying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know how terrifying it is to wake up from blacking out and that just wave of confusion.
You yeah, you do.
Right, I do it all the time.
Buddy.
But that just wave of confusion where it takes you sometimes 10, 20 seconds to realize where you are, what day it is. What just happened? You're just putting the puzzle together.
Yeah, sure.
I can't imagine waking up with a circle of magazines or something, just going like, "Where am I? What day?" Like it's essentially the same thing.
In the dark.
In the dark.
In the
great
pitch black darkness.
In who sings that?
Billy
Squire.
Yeah.
Squire.
That's
you know my wife does, which is the craziest thing. My wife in her sleep, she breaks down like home projects that Randy's done.
Oh.
Is that right?
Yeah, she like analyzes these. She'll just be like,
"Give me an example."
Well, because obviously she watches him work, right?
Yeah, of course.
What? So she has like a really good visualization of what she wants her house to look like.
That makes sense to me.
So she kind of supervises. So she'll tell him, "Hey, you make sure you do this. Make sure you do that." So like in her dreams all the time, she'll be like, "Drill that, Randy, or drill this, Randy, or something like that."
Wow,
just pound that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, man, even in your dreams, you're kind of bossy.
That's interesting.
Just let the man work.
Yeah right.
He does it all the time. What?
Is he there now?
Yeah, this is a huge project today, I guess.
No kidding. Oh, wow, that's really nice of him during these times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hope they're social distancing.
Yeah, what she said is she said they're absolutely practicing it safely.
Oh.
I think you understand what's going on in your home. Oh.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah. Ben Lieber's next.
Here's a weird thing for you, Corey. Listen to this real
quick.
Yeah,
go for it.
I'm going to let you think of this when we go to break.
I can't wait.
Only about 5% of people actually dream in color.
Really?
Yeah. You might dream in black and white and not even know it.
Who's, what song is that?
Should have seen it. In-
All right. Oh, I mean, song. I don't know how anybody can answer that question without truly having a kind of guess, but I've never once felt like I've dreamt in black and white.
I guess I never thought of it.
I never thought of it. So I mean, I just,
I
in
either.
My head, I'm thinking I'm definitely in color because I would think that it was, if it was black and white, that would stand out to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to think of it tonight.
Only 5%?
That's what it says here.
Ooh.
By the way,
I think I'm a 5%er then.
Can I go back to...
I'm losing my mind.
A couple segments ago when I was talking about the walking through history.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I mentioned Marie Antoinette, and I'm being hammered by all kinds of people, like my good friend Andy, my daughter, Abba Dabba.
Mm-hmm.
Marie Antoinette's apparently from France.
Oh.
So I misspoke there.
Shows you how little either A, we're paying attention,
right.
or B, we know about European history,
yeah,
because
right.
I didn't think twice.
Right.
Didn't
right.
catch Obviously, it, wasn't paying attention.
I don't even know who the hell that is.
Well, she said, let them eat cake, I think. And I'm probably wrong about that as well.
Yeah, but Andy will correct you.
All right. When we come back, and Ben Lieber's here. Oh, see, I even set an alarm. I even set an alarm to remind me to play the song for Ben.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, the thing you were talking about a little bit ago.
Yeah,
hour
tease.
Wintertime.
Almost see my
And I promise you, even though the lead up sounds like it's Eye of the Tiger, it's not. It is not Survivor. I'm not playing a song that's 40 years old.
This is the Power Trip Morning Show with Ben Lieber next on The Fan.
Orleans, and he had my back right through the day we left. If it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save.
Hey, it's Chris Hockey. Before I go to break here on this radio station called
The Fan.
Thank you, dear. I'd like to talk to you about Builders and Remodelers at buildersandremodelers.com and let you know that right now you can get $2,500 off roofing. All you got to do is go to buildersandremodelers.com and get started today. It's buildersandremodelers.com. They've been in business, Builders and Remodelers, since 1952. You can call them as well at 612-425-1987. Listen, a perfect opportunity for you now as you're in the house and you're seeing that you need a new roof or you need new siding or new deck or new windows or a complete home transformation. Perfect time for you to check out Builders Remodelers at buildersremodelers.com. Take a look at all the great work they've done. For people like me at my house, where they put brand new doors on, they're going to put new windows on as well. It's Builders Remodelers at buildersremodelers.com. They've been in business since 1952, and you don't stay in business that long unless you're doing great work, and they do great work.
The Fan.
Welcome back to God's Country. Coming to you live from St. Louis Park, Minnesota. It's the Power Trip Morning Show. 7 a.m. on the dot, and Ben Lieber's here on a Monday. Hi, Ben.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today, my friend?
I'm great. Good. I'm great. Good, you?
Good. I'm doing just fine, thank you for asking.
Did you have a good weekend?
I really did. Yeah, very busy weekend, man. Very, very busy.
It's good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not done disinfecting yet.
That's okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you're
man.
Going for it,
doing.
Man. I appreciate
you're
that.
Yeah, go ahead. You're good, man.
Ben's really taking this seriously.
Well, you should. You should. We all should.
Yeah, you missed that down. On the other underside of it.
Stop.
Yeah.
No, please.
There you go.
Stop.
You're
going
to be asked to broadcast in
Why
your
are you
car.
Filming? Don't film it. Sit in your corner and think about what I said.
Yeah. The microphone, dude.
Keep stretching the cord.
Good. Good. Yeah, now I'm good.
How was your quarantine weekend? What'd you do? To get outside at all.
Oh, well, my little guy had his 9th birthday on Saturday.
Yeah, the outside singing happy birthday
yeah,
or whatever
yeah,
was
yeah,
great.
Yeah, you saw that.
What a good bit.
It was a great bit. Our neighbor had suggested to my wife just via email, like, hey, we want to sing happy birthday to him. What if we got all the neighbors to come out and sing happy birthday at 10 in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was super sweet. He was blindfolded walking out there, and then they started singing, and then he got emotional. So it was really cute to see him like get sad and, you know, not sad, but, you know, overwhelmed with emotion. And know, he's of our three, he's that kid that is very emotionally in tune with himself. So it was good to see that. I mean, really, you know, Saturday sucked as far as weather. So it was like he wanted to do a Fortnite party, a virtual party with his buddies. So they all like linked up and iPads and all this other stuff. And
sweet.
FaceTimed each other. And so, yeah, it was chill. It was a chill right. weekend.
I have a Rocket League birthday party almost six nights a week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, nice for you.
Celebrate, I think right at this point now I'm about 17,000 years old because I've celebrated lots of birthdays in the last 12 months.
I'm surprised you're still on Rocket League.
Me too.
It's just so much fun. Yep, still having fun with it.
No,
at some point I'll get bored.
But. On Saturday night, everybody else went to bed. And I was sitting there in front of my television, like, oh my gosh, what do? I can choose anything I want right now. Mm-hmm. And I played video games. I played my race car game.
Yeah.
Till about midnight.
Yeah.
It was super awesome, man.
Video games are the best, dude. Video games are fun.
Yeah. You, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure we should talk about this on air.
Yes, sir.
We finished Hunters.
Could you believe it? I mean, honestly.
Well... Yeah, kind of.
Really?
Not the.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, I don't know if we should talk about this.
We'll talk about it off here.
Yeah.
But did you love it? No.
Last three episodes, very disappointed.
Really?
What? I walked away saying like, nope, not going to watch season two.
Damn it, I'm going
to
tell you.
That bad? It dropped off that badly at the end. You went from loving it to not watching season two.
I went from absolutely loving it. Like singing high praises from the tallest mountain.
Huh.
And then episode 7 or 8, after there's a big pinnacle scene, or at least what happened.
Yeah.
In the jump cuts in the decision making and like it just like it lost me. I'm like, what are they doing here?
No kidding.
What are they doing? Huh. What are they doing? Why are they doing this?
Well,
that makes it the same way.
Yeah.
Man, I got to tell you, I feel personally responsible because I think I overbuilt it for
you. No, because we
you were all in.
We knew that there was. Yeah. Oh, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Let's talk about it off the air.
Yeah.
All right.
So, did you hear my 1 hour tease? That's related to you.
I did not.
No.
So, over the weekend, I heard a song, and almost immediately was like, "Whoa! What is this? This sounds awesome. Like I'm in on this."
Here it is. See, were you sick?
Instantly falling in love with it.
Yeah.
But then I was told what it was, so I looked it up, and it was released November 5th, 2019. Hmm. So what I'm about to play is 4 months old.
Hmm.
I had never heard it until this weekend, and I again, like I said an hour ago, I can't believe no one told us this song existed, otherwise I think we would have played it a bunch in the last 4 or 5 months. And if any of you have heard it, and there's a chance I'm going to play this, and maybe you're like, yeah, I've heard that 1,000 times.
Hmm.
Then again, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you share with the class?
Yeah.
If you know who this is, because you've heard it before, don't say it right away. But if you haven't heard it, feel free to guess. But my prediction is every person on this show will like this song. Because it's in all of our wheelhouses. Yes. And I promise you also, like I said right before break, it is not Eye of the Tiger, even though the first 5 seconds you might say, is this like an Eye of the Tiger cover? It's not.
Hmm.
Ready? In a way, we go.
Rising up.
You wrecked it.
I just want to be the best.
Anybody know who this is?
AWOL Nation.
It's got to be AWOL Nation.
Yeah. AWOL Nation.
Is that who it is?
Yeah. Oh. Wait till the chorus. It just bangs. Why did no one tell us about this?
I just wanna be the best. I'm a little bit taller on me. I wanna feel a little bit stronger on me. I wanna make a little bit stronger.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's good.
We would have heard it all over March Madness, guaranteed.
Yeah, it's called the best.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Came out 4 months ago. What happened?
Yeah,
how did this fall through the cracks?
I could have used this for a Vikings tease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My goodness.
I love A1.
Yeah, that'll never happen again.
It's over.
Well, your guy Kirk Herbstreit came out and said this.
Yeah, why did he do that?
I don't know.
He's just guessing.
Doesn't do anybody any good to guess like that.
No, especially him.
Yeah, I don't know why.
He's gotten, I wouldn't say he's gotten, maybe I've just paid attention to him more. He's definitely been more opinionated on Twitter. But that was, how can you say that?
Yeah, right. He basically just said neither football season was going to happen.
Yeah. Wait a month. Or three.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
Yeah, this song rips.
Yeah, the bridge is sweet, and then it kicks in at the end again.
I've already changed the words in my head.
Yep. To what?
To your other album?
About the breasts.
Yeah, I just want to see some breasts.
Oh.
Which is another thing.
With the, boobs whale.
Strong take.
Thank you. Thank you.
Finally, somebody said it.
So then how did you come across this song?
Scooter and Fellatio, my neighbors.
Yeah.
Scooter's got it on his shuffle. And I go, whoa, what is this? And of course, as soon as he started singing, I'm like, that's AWOL Nation. Couldn't tell before. I just thought it was this badass synth band.
For a second there, I thought you were meaning that when Scooter started singing, it sounded like AWOL Nation. I'm like, wow.
He's great.
Yeah, he's great.
Big fan.
AWOL Nation is just really good at finding the cool factor.
Yeah, they are.
They find just cool, or he or they. I don't know how much of it's Aaron and how much of it's the rest of the band.
From what I hear.
That it's, I don't know, man. They just find a way to make things seem kind of cool.
That was cool.
But you know what the thing is?
What a jam.
They put out music so often, I think we miss it, like you said. And it's really easy to do that in these days because there's no giant thing where you want to go to the record store and you're waiting months to buy the record. So who knows how much AWOL Nation music we missed.
And on that note, apparently there's 4 singles already out for this album. And the album comes out April 24th. If you release stuff in November, why are you waiting 5 months to release the album?
That's really weird.
That doesn't make any sense. By the way, check this out on Wikipedia. Zach, I have a homework assignment for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Way to go, Zach.
So,
way to go. Stay further away.
On AWOL Nation's Wikipedia page, it says November 5th, 2019.
You say Wikipedia?
That's the worst.
That's your Wookiee impression?
That's the best I can do.
Do you have a hairball?
But it says, they released the best from their upcoming 4th studio album, blah, 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 blah. Then it says the song was released along with a music video and a cover of the song Drive by The Cars.
No.
I'm going to go ahead and need to hear AWOL Nation do Drive.
It's got
to
be on YouTube.
The Deftones did an awesome cover of Drive, but I want to hear AWOL Nation do it.
Well, yeah.
Get on that, Zach.
Man, they have a lot of songs in the system that I've never heard.
AWOL Nation?
Yeah.
Really? Which ones?
I'm going to start going through them. You ready?
It's on YouTube, Hawk.
Passion.
Passion Rules.
Miracle Man.
Maybe this is it.
Don't know this song. Don't know this song. Not your fault.
This is a good song.
Chris, you got your email out?
My kids like this song.
Hold on.
You send it to me now? What if there's like 74 curse words?
Yeah, well, blame Zach.
I'm already... out the door right
you
now.
Really are deep ass right now.
AWOL Nation was going to be my first concert at that new Fillmore, but I assume it's been postponed or canceled. I haven't seen that yet, but I'm going to assume that it has been.
I was, believe it or not, supposed to open for Josh Turner at the Armory.
What does Josh Turner sing?
The freaking Armory, and it got canceled. I've never even been in there.
It's sick.
You'd be
more mad if you had been in there.
Turner, if you would, Hawk. I think I know who that is.
He plays this, but he's a country guy, so I don't know if you know it or not, for real, to be honest with you.
No, I bet.
Why don't we just dance? Why don't we just dance? That song? swearing. Anyway.
It's in your email.
It's in my email right now?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Look at it. Okay. Please don't be any cursing.
It's a straight up cover of Drive.
That's what we knew. Ooh. No messing around, Ben. They just get right to it.
Dawn did it.
Don't say that. Who's gonna tell you when it's too late? Who's gonna tell you things aren't so
Yeah, I was going to say, it's okay.
Somewhere in the middle.
Ian, my musician friends out there listening, I think the song's in the same key, but he's singing it up an octave.
That's what's throwing me off,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right.
I like the subtle the subtle bit. He's going way too high.
By the way, Hockey,
yeah.
Josh Turner has some absolute bangers.
You damn right he does.
Man, I would have 100%
gone. I'm shocked that
gone.
You know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Your good. Man? Yeah.
Thank you.
Would you go with me? You should play that song. That song wails.
I know, but I'm
he
afraid
has that really
Corey's
deep
head will
voice.
I really
who cares?
I do. I don't want his head to
well,
explode.
Well, this is terrible.
The clean out, I have, can you imagine the clean out
I don't really
there?
Care. Go for it.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Which one did you
want
to hear?
Play Would You Go With Me? Josh Turner wails.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn it, you were going to play with this guy?
Yeah, man.
Ah.
Oh, I know this song.
Yeah, this guy's got a really deep voice.
Yeah, he's got the sweetest voice of all time.
Yeah, this guy wails.
I'm so glad. I'm shocked as hell.
Damn it.
I'm glad you like it, and I'm shocked as hell.
We got to wait a whole year?
Yeah, they rescheduled to 2021.
Yeah.
Listen to that guy's voice. Golly gee. His testicles must be like a Volkswagen bug, like on each side. Like, how do you find pants that you can fit those things in, right?
Shorts all the time.
It has to be.
Corey! Cracked it.
Corey finds the pants?
No, never mind. I'm Pappy and listening.
Yeah.
You're Pappy and listening? Hi, Pappy.
He's getting a Pappy and listening.
Yeah. What?
That's what you did. And all of us are like, what just happened?
Bobcat Goldthwait a little bit. And you called yourself Pappy. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, he had a seizure and then yelled my name.
Get your legs down, dude.
Well, stop checking.
All right, here we go.
This is KFAN News with Chris Hockey.
Hi.
Presented by Grey Duck Vodka.
Yes. Thank you, Grey Duck Vodka. ChadGreenway.org to donate to the Lead the Way Foundation to help Chad and his lovely wife and their entire organization continue to help people find food right now when they need it most. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey says police will be enforcing the statewide stay-at-home order. Police Chief Arredondo said over the weekend that officers will first focus on education and outreach. Arredondo says the main goal is trying to get voluntary compliance before enforcement measures are taken.
Is that his full name, or is that just his last name you're saying?
Arredondo. That's his last name. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. I think his first name is Madaria, I believe is how you say it, but
gotcha.
I didn't want to get it wrong.
It'd be ridiculous if his first name was Aaron.
Arredondo.
Arredondo. Like Chris Christopherson.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
I like that name, though. Arredondo. I had a friend named Arredondo. In case you're writing a book about me. A possible St. Paul ban on conversion therapy for minors is under review. An ordinance being considered would impose fines on licensed medical professionals who engage in the practice. Hmm. The controversial practice seeks to change a person's sexual orientation of gender identity.
Yeah, just pray it away.
Does that work?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
It does not.
Sauce, what you retweeted last night... I could not believe that is happening
yeah.
in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that people believe it.
Mm.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Mm. Get some.
Yeah, get some, you skinny bitch.
Jeez.
Residents of a St. Paul street are exercising together as a way to connect during the statewide stay-at-home order.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. Well, those living on a block of Palace Street are stepping into the street each night for Japanese-inspired exercise. Social distance is maintained while the residents get some much-needed activity. I like
that. Is that Tai Chi?
Yeah, I guess so. Stuff like that, yeah. Right. Exactly. Like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
Yeah, Roadhouse. So just walk out to the end of the street and just do some small movements.
Yeah. Don't you think that the director of Roadhouse...
The erector?
Like, yeah, the erector of Roadhouse was like, movie's a little short. Need 10 minutes that'll get the women just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Turn off my mic. Excuse me, guys, for 1 second.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. And so let's just have you, Patrick, no shirt.
Of course.
We'll let you put pants on, but I want them so tight I can see your pulse. And then just go out there and make weird movements. And Patrick's like, sweet.
I was going to do that anyway.
Yeah. Roll tape.
Say action.
Roll tape, bitch.
Wow.
I didn't know he called the director a bitch. They didn't like each other.
You guys have seen the movie Hot Rod, right?
Oh, yeah.
Andy Samberg.
I have not yet.
It's good. Freaking great.
It's pretty funny, dude. You like it.
It's super funny. It's super funny.
Yeah.
They have the scene where he's out in the woods training shirtless, and then that random dude just starts putting lube all over his body to make him glisten while he's doing karate exercises by the lake. Makes me laugh every time. And, you know, kind of gets me going.
Is that right?
Excuse me? You know.
I get you, buddy.
I think you went too far.
Is that on the radio?
I get you, buddy.
Yeah. This is the podcast, right?
I get you, buddy.
No. Nobody listens to that.
Yeah, this isn't your hotline.
Cash those tickets.
You know, I was going to do some stories about this thing called coronavirus. I think I'm going to skip that, though.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Yeah, thank you. Let me give you something, a kicker story, as we like to say, in the business.
Kicker.
Hey, by the way, when are we having our guests on? I don't even know when the guests are.
7:40 and 8:20.
7:40 and 8:20.
Rudolph at 7:40, Zucker at 8:20.
Excellent. The Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
Nothing. Says an Orange Line train in Boston has been removed from service after a rider licked parts of the car. Ugh. A passenger told transit police they saw the unidentified man licking the train at the station.
I have great news, by the way. I have terrific A-plus news for the Power Trip Morning Show. Officially, meat sauce is not a suspect. As my sources down the hall say, you refuse to lick
anything.
That's
great, because you were the first person I thought of.
Officially, meat sauce is not a suspect.
Corey!
What?
That's what you did 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pappy.
I didn't say pappy.
You did. You said pappy. There's no word on exactly what the man licked or how many people were on the train at the time. This comes after about 52 employees at Tufts Medical Center were diagnosed with COVID-19.
Yikes.
Did you see the video Rex Chapman retweeted of the guy spitting?
I've probably watched it 1,000 times. That's the greatest left-handed punch I've ever seen.
That dude's
overhand, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know. I can't stop watching it. I love it so much.
Same.
Hit him again.
Yeah.
And the look on the guy's face, like, why are you hitting me?
Well, I think the guy was probably concussed.
No doubt. Guy just clobbered
the way his head bent to the side.
Just the best.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Rex Chapman wails.
He does. He's pretty wailing. Should we do sports after the break? I don't really have any.
Four things.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead then, baby. By the way, you're a freaking anomaly.
Thank you. The Vikings re-signed. running back Amir Abdullah and Brent Jones and Dakota Dozier.
It's Brett.
And whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever.
Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell have been cleared of COVID-19. New York Knicks owner James Dolan has tested positive for it, and the internet basically threw a party. Marcus Smart, who tested positive for COVID-19 2 weeks ago, has been cleared.
Oh, good.
And the best news of the weekend, LA Clippers owner Steve Ballmer is donating $25 million to COVID-19 relief.
It's like $1 an hour.
Some of that money will go towards speeding up a development on a vaccine.
I think I know this. I'm sorry, but for those people like myself who don't, Marcus Smart, a basketball player?
Yes.
Okay.
He plays Celtics?
Yep.
He plays Celtics?
He plays Celtics?
Okay. I can't even.
He plays Celtic.
That's Paul Lambert, everybody. He is the
unfrozen caveman liar.
That's Paul Lambert.
Yeah, blast Paul Lambert.
Yeah, blast him on blast Twitter. Him. At MeatSauce1. Just blast him.
Genius.
Hey, Ben. I want to give you guys another thing to think about when we go to break here. What do you think the longest period of sleeplessness you ever went through was?
Oh.
Like how long have you gone without sleeping?
Probably 36 hours?
Yeah, I'd say maybe at the most 48. Yeah. 36 to 48.
Scientists have a number of days that would probably kill you if you went sleepless. If you went without sleeping for a number of days. How many days do you think it is? Don't answer. I'll tell you when we come back.
Yeah, okay. Love to hang longer, but I got some.
Welcome back, 728. All right, well, that'll do it. There's no room for life in everyone's way. See, I'll tell you what that is, Ben. I'll tell you what it is.
What?
It is the curse of being smarter than me right there. And I say this to Corey all the time. Now that you've explained to me why that show sucked, I'm with you. It sucked.
No,
but I
really? You turned that quickly?
No, he explained a couple of things to me. I'm like, yeah, he's right. That doesn't make any sense. Now
talking about hunters?
Yeah, hunters.
Yeah, some of the it's just like it was building up, and they had so much going on in the first six episodes, and then seventh episode is the pinnacle moment of the whole show, basically outside of the last episode, which a lot of stuff happens. But they just sort of the event happens, and they just sort of glaze over it. I'm like, wait a minute, why did we do that? Why did you guys do that?
That last thing you just said to me though is the key point. I hadn't thought about it, but you're right about that. Damn it.
Have you started Ozark?
Yes.
How far into it are you?
Just one episode, okay. And it's fantastic.
Ooh, I love Ruthie.
I'm three in, Hawks four in. It's just great. Season three's been fun so far.
It's so good.
Such a good show.
95% this season on Rotten Tomatoes. Right,
really?
Now. Yeah. 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 It's so good, but it's so heavy. It's so hard to carry all of it because everybody's just in deep, deep doo-doo.
I know. There's a simmering of anxiety that I have personally. With every episode,
every
scene,
there's
always an underlying, like I'm always literally last night. I was on the edge of my seat, just kind of like my elbows on my knees, just kind of like watching in anticipation because every scene, there's always something that just kind of like, oh God, like how is this going to like play a part in like. I'm always anxious watching that show, which is great because it keeps me captivated.
How about the first scene of the season?
Oh, awesome.
Down in Mexico?
Awesome.
You're like, oh, wow, oh, okay. Whoa. Take it down a notch. This is an aggressive start.
Yeah, get some.
Skinny bitch.
Yeah.
Get some.
Hockey loves that.
I love her. I love her so much.
My gosh. Every time we have Carly or Marnie or, you know, Alicia Lewis, it's going to be like, Sauce going to be like, well, let brought donuts. They're out in the hall. And we're going to say,
get some, skinny bitch.
My God.
God, I love her. Great character.
She's great. Mm-hmm. And again, she won a Golden Globe, I think, for this. Did she not?
I think she did.
That makes sense to me. She should.
I remember watching her speech in the last year. She won an award for something. I'm pretty sure it was this.
And it's amazing how they can make her look so bad in that show. You see her in person, like at an award show, and you're like, she's a pretty gal.
Yeah.
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 She is 26 years old. Dun, 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 dun. Hang on here. What did she win? She won...
My Heart?
Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series for Ozark.
There you go.
That's great. Yeah. She good. She good. Did you guys watch the I Heart Living Room concert last night?
Did not.
Dave Grohl played my hero.
Hey, everybody. This is Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters.
See?
I hope everyone is staying healthy. If you love someone, let them know. If you're thankful for someone, tell them. I'd like to dedicate this song to all the people out there who are on the front lines that are doing their best to get us through all of this. The song is called My Hero.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like the acoustic version of the song. So that was cool of him.
So do I. He's done it on Howard before.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, paying off what we went to break with, we talked about if you went without sleep for how many days, you would die without sleep. And you said you'd gone about, what, 36 hours, you said?
Yeah, probably 36.
Yeah, right. When you were younger, probably, and you were, like, getting things done. Right?
Actually, probably within the last...
Oh, no kidding.
No, it was... No, it was probably like a Vegas type thing too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, probably, there you go. Yeah. Right. So the what do you think the total number of days you would have to be sleepless, scientists think, in order for you to
just flat out die?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna say 9 days.
Yeah, I'm gonna say a fortnight, 2 weeks.
But thank that's you, the Mr.
right,
Lincoln.
But it's the right term.
Yeah, for sure.
I just want to sound.
Edumacated?
Smart.
Okay.
Five days?
That sounds stupid.
I'll split the difference and say 11.
You dance around at 10 days, they say. 10 days. Mm. And that'd be it for you.
Hmm.
Just take a nap.
Don't the Navy SEAL guys, don't they go off of like 5 or 6 days of basically no sleep?
Really?
Or constant interrupted sleep, too?
Man. Jeez. Can't imagine.
That's... arguably the worst plan for suicide is I'm just going to kill myself by not sleeping for the next 10
stay
days.
Up.
Hey guys,
give you a lot of time to think about changing your mind. Mm. That'd be good.
True.
Hey guys, it's Zach. Be sure to like a video and subscribe. I'm doing the no sleep challenge. I'm try not to sleep for 10 days. And
you
see
should
if I
see
live.
How long you can go.
Yeah, I think it'd be good for all of us.
Yeah.
I think the delusion would be kind of fun.
It would be. The hallucinations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sometimes I see spiders when I'm...
Yeah, but those are your crotch grabs.
Oh.
Whoa. Interesting. State Rep John Plummer of Madison wrote a letter on Friday to Governor Evers of Wisconsin, asking the governor to reopen Wisconsin's golf courses. The governor's safe-at-home order lists golf courses as non-essential, but Plummer says he understands the need for social distancing, but he says there's plenty of distance on an 18-hole golf course. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely.
I agree with him.
Why not?
Ooh, I agree with him.
Is that right?
If we can all go walk right. out on yeah. the walking paths together and responsibly keep social distancing a thing,
yeah.
why can't you do that on a golf course, right? Yeah. Sauce, I know the joke's obvious, but your ball's going to be so right. far away from everybody yeah. else Plus, anyway. Yeah. What's the difference?
Yeah. If I played golf with our next guest, my ball isn't going anywhere near as far as his.
No, I doubt your balls would be anywhere near Kyle yeah, Rudolph.
But I agree 100%.
Interesting.
You can social distance on a golf course.
All right.
I disagree. But
thank you.
Really?
Yep.
Why is that?
Because it's not the golfing that I'm worried about. It's the congregating before and afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to allow that, then somebody else can make, well, why can't this industry get together as well?
Yeah, like bowling.
There's too much ball touching in bowling.
All right.
What lanes are open?
Careful.
Hey, so Kyle Rudolph is expected to join next?
Next.
But how about this? Speaking of COVID-19 and the world that we're living in right now, unless something happens because the baby's a day and a half old, Tenneby is going to join us at 8 o'clock, not only Whoa. So we can congratulate him on the birth of his daughter, Ingrid Gray Molesky. Congratulations, Aww. Baby number 3.
Congratulations.
Congrats to Lindsay and Leo and Samson and the entire Molesky family. But a lot of these different things we hadn't thought of until they happen, and one of them is birth. Giving birth with coronavirus is not like giving birth 3 months ago. And if you saw on Twitter, Brandon said there's a couple of really weird things that he had to do this time that he didn't have to do the first 2 times. So we'll have him walk us through what a birth is like in coronavirus era around 8 o'clock. Again, unless something changes between now and 8 o'clock because he's on daddy duty, right?
Yeah,
so maybe
sure.
the baby throws the schedule off that he's expected to join at 8 o'clock. But Kyle Rudolph,
nice
Vikings tight end, next on The Fan. Fan.
All right, welcome back. 7:42, Power Trip Morning Show on The Fan. Boom, boom.
Stand in the place where you live.
Yeah, stand in the place where you live and look around and stay right there. Thank you. You know what? Without further ado,
it's time for Vikings News.
Touchdown!
Presented by
Ranco!
You're
Accessories Pro.
Well, that's right. Kyle Rudolph and his family are helping provide support during these uncertain times, and they're inviting Viking fans who are able to join the effort. Kyle and his wife, Jordan, on last Monday, made a personal donation to Second Harvest Heartland that will provide 82,000 meals to Minnesotans who are being hit hardest by the repercussions of COVID-19 and such. Kyle Rudolph is our guest right now. Mr. Rudolph, nice job. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, Hawk. How are you?
Really good. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks for having me. Always good to chat with you guys.
Well, right before this, Kyle, we were just talking about social distancing and maybe golfing, and Sauce, of course, is your golfing buddy, and Sauce wants the courses back open. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a way for us, you know, April golf in Minnesota is a rarity, and we'll have an opportunity this year with weather to open up the golf courses. You know, I don't see why not. You can abide by all the social distancing rules. You don't got to touch the pin. You can stay away from each other. You know, Sauce and I probably won't be able to ride in a cart together, but we can still have a good time on the golf course, and it's a way to stay safe.
Yeah, Sauce, are you willing to walk a course?
Well, yeah, there's some courses you have to walk, yeah.
And you're willing to?
Yeah, of course. One, I need the exercise, and two, as Kyle knows, my ball's going about 200 yards shorter than everybody else's, so I won't be near anyone.
Yeah. Well, so wait, didn't they close down parks for kids?
I think so.
That's
interesting. That's true, yeah. I believe they did, yeah.
I don't know. I'm losing track of what's open and what's not. I just stay home. So, again, not that different than pre-coronavirus.
Right.
Basically the same thing. Kyle, what are you and your family doing, though, during most of this time? Your ever-growing family. What do you guys do during the quarantine?
The biggest thing for us, obviously, is keeping the kids entertained. I think about a week and a half into this now, they're sick of being around mom and dad all day, every day. But thankfully, like I mentioned, we've had some good weather around here, so we've been able to get outside, take some walks, play in the yard, sidewalk chalk in the driveway. So, you know, for them, it's just about keeping them entertained. You know, obviously we don't have school age kids yet, so, you know, we're not really doing the whole homeschool thing. If we can keep them occupied with some activities, whether it's coloring, painting, tracing, things like that during the course of the day, that serves us far better than just letting them kind of run around bored all day.
Kyle, are you and most of your teammates preparing as if mini camps and whatnot are going to start in May and everything is just as normally scheduled for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, for us, you kind of have to. You know, obviously the circumstances are different, and you have to find ways to train at home. And but in terms of our schedule, you know, to me, it's a lot like the 2011 schedule when the lockout happened. You know, you didn't know when all of a sudden they're going to be like, all right, we're open. Come on in. Let's get rolling. So, you know, for us as athletes, you have to find ways to keep yourself prepared. And no matter if we start in May like we normally do or we go back in June or July, who knows? But when that time comes, you got to be ready.
Kyle, is there any sort of plan when it comes to the day that you guys are supposed to check in for phase one? Are there like, how are they going to keep tabs on you guys' workouts? Is strength coach sending out stuff that everybody can do collectively? Like, how are they going to do that part of phase one?
So, most recently, you know, as of right now, it's like facility shut down for the next 2 weeks. And then we're in constant communication with Uwe and Shugs, head strength coach, head athletic trainer, giving us kind of, you know, guidelines, if you would, you know, understanding that, you know, not every guy has all the equipment he may need at his house. But if we can completely strip this back to the bare bones of what we have to do on a functional basis to kind of lay a foundation for when we do get back, then that's great. And if it's body weight exercises, jumping jacks, we have a little bit of an incline on our street in front of the house. And I use that. It's kind of about a 30-yard incline, so I'm able to do some running on there. And literally everybody's program is completely different. I'm fortunate I have a few pieces of equipment at the house, so I'm able to get some good cardio in. I just installed a tonal machine at the house, and it's basically every weight I would need in a whole weight room on this little machine on the wall. So I'm extremely fortunate to be able to have those kinds of things, but obviously that's not the case with everybody in the NFL.
how about your weight? Are you getting fat like the rest of us?
See, I feel like I've worked so hard this off season to keep my weight down, and actually I'm the lightest I've ever been in my career. So I can't let this quarantine just put me right back to where I was to end the season. So I'm working hard to try to keep that weight off throughout the quarantine.
Most importantly, Kyle Rudolph, Vikings tight end, joins the Power Trip Morning Show. But most importantly, have you watched Tiger King in the last couple of weeks on Netflix?
Oh, no, I haven't got onto the Tiger King yet. Trying to think of what we've watched on. My wife cheered in college and obviously all growing up. So we watched that Cheer documentary on Netflix. That was probably the most recent documentary that we watched. But I'll have to get into the Tiger King. I feel like I see it everywhere on social media.
Kyle, you're really close with Carl Anthony Towns. Have you heard an update about his mom?
Not more recently than the last couple of days. Obviously, she's in our thoughts and prayers. And, I think Carl did an unbelievable job just kind of expressing the severity of this. You know, most of us, if we came in contact with it, would be fine and would continue on with our life as if we just had a little virus. But that's not the case for everyone. And I thought Carl did an unbelievable job kind of expressing to the world how serious this is. And obviously it's hit their family, really, really close to home with his mom. And, you know, we just keep Mama Cat in our thoughts and prayers and know that she's a really, really strong woman and she'll get through this.
You know, switching over to football news, you know, you're obviously not in the building, can't be in the building, but you're following the news just like all of us. And the Vikings have been, big time movers, I guess, this offseason. What is happening with my voice?
You're getting
right
so choked up thinking about it. I'm so excited.
I know.
Yeah, right. It's okay, buddy. Jeez. It's all right. You're okay.
But you know, Stephon Diggs, you were there in the locker room this whole season, this whole offseason, with the things that he was saying and doing and tweeting and you know, putting it out there publicly that he was happy and then like, no, I'm just kind of playing. And then he finally gets moved to Buffalo. How does it feel as a teammate to go through that, see the process, and then ultimately when you guys check back in, he's no longer your teammate and going to be in the huddle with you?
Well, obviously when you lose a player the caliber of Stephon Diggs, it's tough. Diggsy was a big-time competitor, probably one of the most competitive guys I've ever played with, a guy that I loved going out there and taking the field with because, you know, I knew what I was going to get from him each and every Sunday. And, that's tough. You know, obviously it'll be a big void for us to fill. But with that being said, I have all the faith in the world in Rick and George and all those guys in the front office who are going to be able to take essentially 3 draft picks this year and make our roster better. So, you know, we wish Diggsy well and I wish him a ton of success. I'm glad he's in the AFC where we won't have to see him for a few years. I'm glad he didn't end up in a team that we'll be playing a couple times a year. So you wish him well, but like I said, I have all the faith in the world in Rick and those guys to take the overhaul of draft picks that we got for Diggsy and make our team better.
You got to like that they gave your quarterback a new contract.
Yeah, absolutely. We're happy for Kirk. I mean, he takes a lot of scrutiny, and I've said this over the last couple of years. You know, when you sign a free agent deal like that at the quarterback position, you're exposing yourself for that kind of scrutiny. You know, the quarterbacks get way more credit when things go well, and they take way more blame when things don't go well. That's just the nature of that position. So, you know, to see Kirk be rewarded for 2 really good years here in Minnesota and, you know, our organization to stand by Kirk and say he's our guy moving forward, I know it means a lot to me as a leader in our locker room and to the rest of the guys on our team.
I know, by the same token, you got to be glad they finally got rid of David Morgan, though. I mean, let's just be honest.
Oh, man.
I know, dude. How much do you miss that guy already?
No, Dave's the best. And, even just this past year with Dave being banged up and not being around every day and not in our room every day, it's, you know, just a personality that you miss, but also a guy who, his play on the field is missed. He's a guy that does a lot of dirty work that doesn't get a ton of credit, and oftentimes the things that he does goes unnoticed. So we definitely miss Dave a ton, and you know, a guy that I not only miss on the field, but miss having around in the locker room and in the meeting rooms.
Well, I hate to keep bringing this vibe down because we're talking about guys that have departed. Another guy that sort of was the heart and soul of the defense, and a guy that you've been around your whole career with the Minnesota Vikings is Everson Griffin. He's no longer on the team either.
I know. I mean, I think this year and my, you know, going into the 10th season, you know, I think back to early in my career and the kind of overhaul of our roster. I think this is the biggest one we've had in recent memory. Definitely the biggest one we've had under Coach Zimmer. There's going to be a lot of new faces out there. But with that being said, as I mentioned before on the Diggsy trade, you know, we have the utmost trust in Rick and Coach Zim and those guys to bring in new faces, bring in talent. And then as a guy who's been here for 10 years, it's my responsibility to kind of teach them what it means to be a Minnesota Viking and what it would mean to bring a championship back here. And that's all that we're doing. You know, it's our goal to be the first Vikings team to win a championship. And yeah, it's their job to bring in talent. Then it's my job as a leader and a guy that's been here for 10 years to instill that in them and teach them what it means to be a Minnesota Viking.
So, Kyle, you made the personal donation to Second Harvest Heartland, but how can people help again if they want to be involved and donate as well?
So we have the links on both of my social media profiles on Instagram and Twitter in my bio, and you can hop on there. There's a website, Rudy's Meal Plan. You know, we pledged the 82,000 meals, and in less than a week, Vikings fans and fans all across the country have already matched our 82,000 meals, and, you know, we're more than 25% of the way to our goal in 1 week. So it's been awesome to see the outpouring of support, and I know that Second Harvest Heartland is doing so much good stuff around here and in the Twin Cities community, and they're helping these kids who have the food insecurities because they're not able to get meals at school, and families who mom and dad aren't working anymore, and they don't know where they're going to find a meal.
Hmm. Well, that's great work, Kyle, and again, thank you for that, and please make sure you check and help in any way you possibly can. Before we let you go, I want to go back in time just for a second. I grew up right on the borders of Ohio and Indiana, but I played high school football in Ohio. You went to one of the football places to play high school football, and that was Elder, just in Cincinnati, Ohio, not far enough away that I didn't know everything about it. I mean, the one thing that I always heard, though, about your school was about your stadium. I believe it's called The Pit. Is that right? Was that the name of the high school stadium? And if I'm right on that, can you tell me what kind of pressure it was as a high school football player to walk into a stadium that big on a Friday night?
It was something that I grew up around. You know, since I can remember, you know, grandma and grandpa take me to the Elder High School game on Friday at the Pit. And it's pretty crazy because when you think about a high school stadium, it's literally right there on campus, if you would. You know, it's right across the way from the school, and it's a 12,000 seat horseshoe.
Yeah.
So it's a giant concrete horseshoe. It was in USA Today as one of the 10 best places to watch a high school football game. And actually, one of the things that I'm really excited about, you know, played a ton of games there and had a bunch of great memories. But this summer we're having Darius Rucker there for a concert and going to raise a bunch of money for the school. And, you know, to have one of my favorite musicians outside of U-Hawk be able to play at my high school is something that I'm really, really excited for. And I'm glad with all this COVID-19 stuff that's going on, we were able to get that date moved from May 7th to July 17th and still be able to make that happen.
Fantastic. Well, again, check out all the social media channels for Kyle Rudolph and help out. And thank you for what you're doing, man. Thank you for your time. And can't wait to see you out on a football field again.
You guys are the best. It's always a pleasure chatting with you.
Thanks, Kyle.
See you, Kyle.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
There he goes.
I will not be participating as there is no evidence that charity works.
That's a bad attitude.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, should probably help out.
That's a terrible attitude.
Imagine
just
playing
help him out.
And as a high school football player, Ben, in front of 12,000 people.
No.
I was looking it up just now, too, as he was talking about it. It was called The Pit, and they built it in the 1930s.
Oh, okay? So it really is just a concrete.
It's just old 12,000-seat stadium, man. That's how important football is to that school.
I think that our state championship year, my junior year, state championship game, we had maybe 5,000.
Yeah.
No, maybe a little bit more than that, but it was a packed house, and that was crazy. I can't imagine twice that, more than twice that, on just a random
weekly
Friday night
basis.
Just
for a Friday night football game. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Mm. God, how do you end up as humble as Kyle when you're basically a god since high school?
Yeah.
Right? If you're that good,
well,
and you're 12,000 people, you're big man on campus, you're like everybody worships you.
Then he puts on the gold dome and goes to Notre Dame,
right,
and like
right.
has a big deal at Notre Dame.
But he's super chill.
Right. Yeah.
He's the best.
Not a lot of ego on a guy that had a resume to basically have an ego if he really wanted to. But
scored 1,000 career points as a center.
Yeah.
In high school basketball.
Wasn't he going to go to Kentucky? Didn't he say that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he mentioned
that. That's a huge bitch.
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah, but he's lighter than he's ever been, he said.
Yeah, well, that's one of us.
That's where
everyone else is going the wrong way during coronavirus. Rudolph's getting thinner.
Talk about the willpower during this shutdown. All I want to do is eat.
Speaking of that, Hawk, when we come back, how was that cake?
Dude. I could have eaten both of those giant slices I took home by myself. Luckily, I didn't have to. So good. I love cake. I love food.
All right, we'll talk to Tennessee when we get back to Brandon Molesky, the Common Man Program, about his wife giving birth during coronavirus era and what that was like. It's not the same procedure for ladies right now as it normally is. We'll walk through that and congratulate Tennessee after this on the Power Trip Morning Show on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. It's 8:03. Ben Lieber is here. It's Monday, and Ben is nice enough to come on in.
Hi.
Asasi, and of course, Corey, and myself, and Zach is in the corner where he belongs.
Hi, everybody.
And on the Opal right now, ladies and gentlemen, live from his bathroom, Mr. Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Hi. Hi, Tennessee.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Well, it's not my bathroom. It's the hospital bathroom. I'm in a bathroom.
Is it a nice bathroom?
You know, it's okay.
It's okay.
Yep.
It's not exactly what you'd see on HGTV, but it gets the job done. I'm currently sitting on one of those. I'm basically sitting on one of those seats that they put in the bathtub so that pregnant women can shower when they sit down.
Oh, is that it? Don't they call it the sits bath?
I don't know what it's called.
Ask PA. He was just telling me about how hot those are.
I'll tell you what. If you can bring that home, I'd love to have one of those. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's one of his things. Get our guy Matt Minster to crash that bath at the hospital, right? He'll make that thing look real nice.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
It's got like a weird orange paint color to it. But before we start, I just want to say congratulations to Corey Cove on all your success with the initials game. It's awesome. I know you've been working on that for a couple of years. You've worked extremely hard, and everything you're about to get is well-earned.
Thank you. Tarpshooter.com, tarpshooter.com, tarpshooter.com. Appreciate it.
Any Chris Hockey concerts coming up?
We had one Saturday night online, but that was about it, man. Yeah, we're doing our best to stay away from everybody at this point.
Well, as you know, Tennessee, for a guy that has to sit and listen to Common for the last decade talk about the book that he was going to write, for the last handful of years...
Did he write a book?
He did. He talked about it longer than I think the book actually was. But, you know, I sit here on this show and Sauce does stand-up. Hockey does concerts. They're doing Twin Cities Summer Jam. And I'm going, I have nothing to promote. I just go home. So finally this weekend, I'm like, yeah, Kickstarter.com. I did something. I can just shamelessly promote something now for the next decade. So
well,
I feel like I'm officially a fan member.
We're at a time where it's not the best time in the world to start creating new products, but yours is perfect because everyone's staying at home. They can play board games while they're at home.
So. Yeah, that's the only thing that sucks. I wish the game was truly produced and done so I could hand it to people now because they're obviously stuck in their homes.
Yeah.
And hopefully the coronavirus doesn't throw the timeline off, but because otherwise I think everybody will have it by July or August at the latest. So
sweet.
Unless the coronavirus completely screws up timelines, but I don't think that it will. I think
where
we're
can
okay.
we find that?
Kickstarter.com, or you can just find me on Twitter at Corey Cover at Initials Game, and you'll find it.
Incredible.
Thank you. Back to you, though, Tennessee. Two reasons we wanted you on. Again, number one, congratulations. Ingrid Gray Molesky is a beautiful name. She's a beautiful girl.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
You're officially a girl dad. Your thoughts on a day and a half of having a girl instead of two boys?
Well, I'm hoping it quiets things down a little bit because two boys, especially at their current age of 5 and 3, is a little bit of a challenge. I've always been kind of a sensitive new age guy, so I wanted to make sure I had one boy. Of course, I think most fathers want to have one boy, and I got that out of the way right away. So, kind of the reason we kept going and had another child because we wanted a shot at a girl, and if this one would have been a boy, I don't know what we would have done after this because I'm 40 years old. I'm getting too old to be having kids. I just feel exhausted all the time, so I don't know if I could have gone for a fourth. So I'm very pleased to get the girl out of the way now.
All right, so let's walk through this. In the last handful of weeks, as Lindsay was getting closer and closer and closer, how did they prep you for what the birth was going to be like during coronavirus? And now that you've gone through it, what extra precautions did they take, and how was it from your perspective and Lindsay's?
Yeah, so they let us know a couple weeks ago that, one, we were only going to have one visitor here. So as long as I did not get the coronavirus, which thankfully I did not, I was going to be the visitor. So, you know, no grandpa and grandma in the lobby. Our two boys are at home. They have, you know, nobody. That's kind of the weird thing is you have a baby and typically you're used to, all right, let's introduce the baby to all your loved ones. And we haven't really gotten to experience that and still probably won't experience it other than, you know, our two boys when we get home. We're not going to be able to go see grandpa and grandma or great grandma or uncle and aunt. So that's a little weird and a little odd.
Can you stop for 1 second before you go on? When you said you know you don't have coronavirus, did they make you get tested before you had access to the hospital, or is that not a thing yet?
I did not get tested, but they asked me. So we got here at about 11:30 on Saturday night. And I was surprised at how few people there were here. And obviously, it makes sense with all the coronavirus. Like, you know, you don't have people sitting in the lobby anymore. You don't have guests and visitors. So, I mean, it was like dead when we got here. The parking lot barely had any spots full. And, you know, basically, you just go to the front desk and they ask you about 10 questions to make sure you don't have any symptoms and taking care of yourself. And so, basically, that was only the protocol. But once you get into the hospital room, I can't leave. So, you know, if something were to happen at home or I have to go deal with the children, I can't come back or I can't even leave the room to go get water or go to the vending machine. So, and we knew that ahead of time. So we had snacks and beverages and all that kind of stuff planned out ahead of time. But that's, kind of the interesting part is you can't leave the room. We can't even order takeout. So, you know, of course, Carboni's Pizza is nearby. I can't get Carboni's Pizza. I wanted some chicken crispers from Chili's last night, but it's basically all hospital food all the time.
Yeah, have you had anything good there?
it's hospital food. I'll give the hospital credit because in so many places where you're stuck at getting food, like if you go to a sporting event, they jack up the prices, or if you go to the movie theater, they jack up the prices. The hospital could do that to you. Like you're forced to eat it. There's really no other options. Yet, you know, you get a full meal for $7. So I won't complain too much.
Did they ask you guys to put off the birth for a month or two?
Well, you know, you laugh, but actually they had told my wife, you know, weeks ago that, you know, it's possible we would have to induce early. And luckily, our baby came about 6 days early, but we were due next Friday. And I think if we had gotten to Wednesday, we were planning on inducing. And I'm guessing for people are going to have kids in the next couple of weeks here where it's going to ramp up even more. You know, I do think the plan of inducing early they want to get, you know, they'd also told us too that beforehand, if we have a normal delivery, we're out of here in 24 hours. If we had a C-section, we're out of here in 48 hours. Now we had a little bit of trauma with ours, early on. So we're going to be here longer than the 24 hour allotted period. Actually, we'd be gone by now if we were only here for 24 hours. So, but they told us ahead of time that they want you to get in, get out. They want to get you out here as soon as possible. And like I said, they were planning on inducing because they would rather have the babies earlier than later because they're, you know, you get worried about masks and having enough doctors and nurses later on. And so we were fortunate that we came 6 days early here.
Crazy, scary, but it's good that it sounds like everything went right. So
yeah, good.
Congratulations.
It did. We had some scary moments right after the birth because you know, so and they kind of warned us about it that sorry to get too graphic, but our baby Ingrid basically had pooped inside the uterus. So when she came out, she was fully covered in her own poop from head to toe and inhaled a lot of it. So you know, normally when the baby comes out, you give it to mom and you take pictures and dad gets in the same time. It was basically, they took the baby away right away, put the oxygen mask on her. They were taking this, you know, you guys all have kids, so except for Paul, but the rest of you, you're aware of that little suction cup thing when your children have, you know, too much snot and boogers. They basically did that to suck out poop out of her nose. I mean, it was just very frightening. They basically were about to take her to the NICU. They had prepped us for us, saying, you know, they have to give her antibiotics, and they tried one last thing letting her go to mom, and all of a sudden her heart rate and breathing improved once she went to mom. So it's kind of, and then we never, like, we we're on the verge of sending her to the NICU where we weren't going to be able to see her for quite some time. And then all of a sudden, it turned around quickly. So it was great.
Well, that sounds super.
She's been good. Yeah. She's been good since.
Two things. That's super relieving. We're glad to hear everybody's fine. And also, I just got a text from Dwight Hockey, and he's unbelievably proud.
I didn't think you would go there.
He wants a test. He's pretty sure that's his baby.
Listen, that's as scary as hell. I'm sorry you guys went through that. But with two older brothers, you think that'll be brought up a few times when people get older?
Yeah, you might want to keep that from Leo and Samson. Right. Don't tell the boys.
Well, it's funny, too, because she was an IVF baby. So, you know, she comes out and you start doing the who does she look like thing. And I'm like, I might need to do the Maury Povich paternity test to make sure it's fine. Make sure they didn't screw it up at the clinic.
That's awesome. Congrats, dude.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, be safe.
You guys are the best.
Take care, buddy.
Thank you. Brandon Molesky, Tenneby from the Common Man Program, noon to 3. We have a neighbor, a kid named Ingrid. Isn't it crazy? Whenever you see a baby's name... Mm-hmm. If you have somebody in your life that you can't stand, it greatly impacts your thought about that name.
Sure.
But the neighbor kid, who's named Ingrid, is just a sweetheart. Harper's friends with her. She's adorable. So when I heard that the name was Ingrid, I'm like, perfect choice. If Ingrid down the street had been a disaster, I'd have been like, oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
God, Ingrids are the worst.
And you said the middle name is Gray?
Ingrid Gray.
I love Gray.
Yeah, beautiful name.
I love that middle name.
It's a terrific name. All right, Jason Zucker has an okay name, and he's next. After we'll do. You want to do Fran 5 now or afterwards?
We'll do it later.
All right, we'll do it later. Thanks to Builders and Remodelers.
Yeah, thank you, BuildersRemodelers.com.
Jason Zucker is next on the band.
iHeartRadio Twin Cities wants you to know we're all in this together concerning COVID-19. Dan Reidenberg is with SAVE. Suicide Awareness, Voices of Education. What can we do to help those that are isolated?
Not only reaching out through the traditional ways that we normally would in the past by calling people, how uncommon is that today, but call people. Use social media to stay connected. Challenge people. For example, challenge people to learn something new every day or every week. Find ways to develop new hobbies and new interests. New activities and share that with each other. These are the kinds of things we want to keep people doing, staying active and staying connected right now. Know that if you're really in trouble, you can always reach out to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That number is 800-273-TALK, or you can text the crisis text line. Just text the word hello to 741-741.
KFAN, total
to KFAN.
Welcome back to the Power Trip Morning Show. Just talked to Tenneby. Before that, we talked to Kyle Rudolph. Ben Lieber's in here. I think we're going to talk to Jason Zucker. Is he calling? Is he opaling?
He's supposed to opal it up. Let's see.
Okay, cool. I got nothing right now. I'll let you know when I see him.
We did send a link to Carly. I wonder if Carly's going to sabotage this bit.
Sabotage.
Can we get Tommy to talk to Brandon about how to use the opal?
It is interesting, isn't it?
Tommy's is the only link that sounds like he just called on the phone.
It is.
But I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't really. It's so much fun because he's so enthusiastic anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I know.
Tenneby sounded great.
Sounded like he was
in a hospital bathroom.
Yeah, it sounded really good.
Hospital bathroom. Mm. I don't know. What kind of Wi-Fi do hospitals have?
Probably really good.
Probably really good.
Yeah.
I would guess.
Yeah.
Good point. So as we wait on Mr. Zucker to dial in, shall we do a little bit of sports?
Sure.
All right, good. Brought to you by our friends at Builders and Remodelers and BuildersRemodelers.com. Thanks, you guys.
Builders and Remodelers.
You do 8 o'clock sports.
You do.
You do.
I guess I do.
Yeah, are you okay? I mean, I can do it. The Vikings re-signed running back Amir Abdullah, Brett Jones, or is it Brent?
Brett.
Brett Jones.
Two T's.
And Dakota. Thanks, Gore. And Dakota Dozier over the weekend.
Ben, does Dakota Dozier have a shot at being the starting right guard, or how do you think they're going to use him? A depth guy or a potential starter?
Both of them are depth guys, in my opinion. You need bodies. You just do. And he's familiar with the system. Both guys are. So it's good that they have these guys on roster, but I don't foresee any of these guys being starters.
Drew Samia is your front runner or not?
It sounds like it, yeah.
Do you like who would be second outside of drafting somebody or acquiring somebody? If somebody on the roster was going to beat him at right guard, who would it be?
Oh boy,
not a lot of options.
Not a lot of options. We have Ole Udo as a tackle, and he's probably too big to be a guard. As far as true viable starters, I don't know if there's a lot of true competition.
So arguably, Dozier's the backup.
Is he the number two guy? I think so. Okay. If I had to choose right now between the two, I think Drew would probably win that battle. Dakota is the swing guard.
All right, what about, clearly Abdullah's got a couple of running backs in front of him, but how do you see him in the special teams game? Where does he rank at the top of the depth chart?
He's one of the better ones on special teams, and so I think that's number one why they're going to bring him back and why they are bringing him back. But, we saw him, I'm a big fan of him as a player, but I think we've seen sort of what we are going to get as a running back. He does have the fumbling issues, and I think that there are times when he's carrying the football. Whenever you have as a offensive coach or a player and you've got a little bit of anxiety every time you hand the ball off, that's not a comforting feeling for any offense and offensive coordinator. So I don't think he's going to get a ton of run playing running back. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with, I don't think anything's going to happen with Dalvin, whether he gets the extension or not. I mean, he's going to be the guy for this year. But you've got two great workhorses at 1-2. And then, he's going to be that third guy that comes in every once in a while. And then he's one of the best special teams players they have on the team outside of C.J. Ham and Kentrell Brothers. He's going to be a huge valuable piece for the special teams.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Were you scared to death every time in the huddle they called your number to carry the ball?
In high school?
Yeah, in high school, yeah.
No, I loved it.
Dude, I was scared to death. And I was a fullback, so I didn't carry that much. But I think I've told you guys this before. But my coach yelled at me one time because he said every time I was going to get the handoff, I would lick my fingers. And he said, you're telling everybody you're getting the ball.
Yeah.
Every time. I was scared to death.
Mm. Yeah, it's...
So I licked my fingers on every play, by the way, from then on. I'm not even kidding. Yeah. It's not a joke. I did it on every play.
Yeah, you either do it all the time or you do it another
time. That's exactly right, yeah.
It's funny how I've done...
I know. They were my fingers, not yours.
You're always sick. Yeah. Doing a couple football camps here and there with high school kids, and you sort of tell them those little things. Not that you would know them individually, but you say okay, you got to make sure that whatever you're doing when you break the huddle, you have to do it every single time. It's amazing. Even now, they're like, really? You guys as a defense look at that? I'm like, oh yeah,
yeah.
And so I'm like, when you release on a pass route, you have to make all of your angles look exactly the same, because I can tell within the first step and a half what you're probably going to do and not do.
Hmm.
And they're like, oh, really? And I'm like, I'm not trying to say that as NFL players, we're like way up here and we're so cerebral and all this other stuff. But when you play enough football, some of the obvious things like licking your fingers whenever you get the ball, you don't even think about it, because you're thinking about I got to run through this hole, and this is going to be this block, and I got to do this. And you're thinking of all these other things, and then you have these little tells, just some like Corey does in playing poker. It's so subconscious, you don't even think about it.
Right.
And you're like, oh, but it's so obvious to everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun to kind of go through those little things with the especially the young, impressionable high school players.
How many times did you fumble as a running back in
high school? A lot. I was a fumbler. Oh, really? Yeah.
Define a lot. Like, ballpark your career high school fumbles.
I had 3-1 game.
Jeez.
One of our bigger games against Winter, South Dakota, I had fumbled 3 times at home. And that was about the only time mentally in a game where I was like, don't hand the ball off to me. Because and they knew it too. They were punching at it. They were doing everything they could to get that ball out. And so,
was it careless ball handling on your
place? Yeah, I think it was. I think it was careless. It was a lack of I hate to say this, but I think it was a little bit of a lack of coaching. It was like the coaching would be like, hold on to the ball. I'd like to know, give me some coaching points on what I should be focusing on when we're in practice. And it's not just, well, it's got to be high and tight. Yeah, there's more than that, though. You got to feel pressure in different points. And, now that I've gotten older and you talk to running backs, there's more than just
hold
on to the ball. No kidding, dumbass. I'd love to hold on to the ball a bit better.
Remember, at Novice, you did fan line with me for years. It's one of my favorite calls is when somebody fumbles once or twice in a game. we'll get a caller that go, why don't these coaches tell these guys to hold the ball better?
Oh, my gosh. All the time.
Yeah, it's like the coaches are going, man, Ben Lieber keeps fumbling, but I told him to hold on to it. I don't know what else to tell him.
Yeah.
What else am I going to do? It's like, yeah, it's like they haven't thought of.
Yeah.
Should have thought of that.
I should have thought of that. Guy, I was in a fan line and some guy said I should tell him to hold on to the ball. As soon as that guy gets back to camp, I'm going to hold him. Tell him to hold on to the ball as tight as possible. Don't fumble anymore. Oh, thanks. Great advice, Frank.
So hockey, you would rather get the play call and know that you're going to be the battering ram than the guy running
100%. It took me a long time to get over that. I'd played guard my entire life until my senior year. And then they put me a fullback. And we ran a power eye.
Yeah.
So two tailbacks and I was the fullback. And
I had a wishbone?
No,
well, it's a different thing. Yeah, But man, it took me a long time to get over being scared to death. Hold on, I think Jason's there. Let me see. Jason, are you there?
Yeah, I got you now.
Hey! Oh, there you are. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Jason.
There we go.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, you know, we're just talking high school football on a Monday morning. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I have a lot of experience with that too.
Did you not play high school football at all?
I played Pop Warner for 1 year in the eighth grade. I played quarterback, and I was the most scared person in the world to get hit by anybody.
Huh.
And so, but I actually was, we had a good team, luckily. And so I just threw the ball and hoped somebody caught it.
Which is so bizarre because you're a scrappy player playing hockey. Like you're picking fights and throwing fisticuffs.
You're mean.
Yeah.
You want to know what it really is I wasn't good enough to scan the play quick enough. Like, but you'll get this. Like, I was told a play, right? And when you're playing Pop Warner, it's like, hey, I remember there was one play that was called throw a one to this kid. His name was Trey. I don't know how I remember that, actually. And he would just run a straight line down the left side of the field. And so I would get the ball, and I would just throw it there. I never even looked if somebody else was open or if he was covered. I would just throw it. And that was it. Like that. And so I never, if that wasn't open and I happened to see it wasn't open, I was still throwing it. Because I wasn't good enough to scan the other way.
So, Jason, we were just talking to Ben, and Ben said he once fumbled three times in a game in high school as a running back. Do you remember from your youth, not necessarily even college or pro hockey, just a disastrous game where you made a million mistakes?
I've had so many. I've had so many. Oh, my gosh. And oddly enough, there was two games I remember off the top of my head that were actually what I felt that way. And they were some of the biggest games for me to get scouted. One was for juniors and one was for college. And I remember my dad being at both of those games because he's a crazy fanatic. And he would make sure that he was at those games to make sure that I played well and everything was good and so on. And I remember talking to him after both of those games being like, you're down. Both of those games, I got offered to play for both of those teams, which was completely bizarre.
Hmm.
Makes no sense to me.
Good scouts.
Yeah, great scouts. I paid them off just enough, I guess.
Well, I don't know if you guys have the same saying in the hockey locker rooms, but as we're a bit ready to watch film, we're always reminded that it's never as good as you think and never as bad as you think. You know, you can come off a game for us on a Sunday and just feel awful about yourself. Like you just want to beat yourself up and flog yourself because you feel so terrible about yourself on Sunday night. And then you go and watch film on Monday, you're like, not that bad.
Hawks watching a tough film.
I actually got a decent grade on the game. You feel kind of good about this. Then other games, you're like, hell yeah, you're pounding your chest and you feel like King Kong. And you walk in there like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I thought I had a good game.
100%. But how funny is it, too, when you actually have the game that is that bad, right? Like, you know that it's that bad.
It's awful. It's
and then you get on video, you see video, and you're like, wow, it's even worse than I thought. I knew it was bad, but it's even worse. And in hockey, I know football, it obviously, I think it might be a little different with how much it resets after every play. But for us, there's times that, like, you have a 3-minute shift in your own zone, and you're like, this is just this isn't even hockey. Like, just get me off the ice. This is so bad.
Jason, yeah. It's Meat Sauce. How tough is it to be around Carly 24/7 now?
She's the worst. It's awful. Honestly, like, if you want to know, like, the best test of a marriage in the world is a quarantine, you know? And we've failed miserably. We have failed miserably. I've gone, you know, we were talking the other day about how many car rides I'm going to end up going on, that just like to nowhere, just to go drive. Just, you know, pack up the kids and go and let her sit at home alone for a few hours and just be in silence.
That's probably a good thing.
You know, this is the first time I believe that we've had you on since the trade. Am I wrong about that?
I don't think we've had you on since.
So let me do this. Pittsburgh Penguin, yeah. Jason Zucker is our guest. That's a really weird sentence to say. going back to the first time that you walked into the offices and such there and got to know everybody in Pittsburgh, is there one thing that sticks out where you're like, this is a completely different planet, that being on this team is so different in this way?
Well, my first day was a complete whirlwind, as everybody that has ever been traded can tell you. But for me, I had a game that night. So I flew out of Minneapolis at like 9 a.m., 8:30, 9 a.m. And I landed here around 12:30. So I had somebody from the team pick me up from the airport. We went straight to the practice facility because I had to do a physical in order. And so the trade technically didn't go through until like 3 o'clock that afternoon because it was pending a physical because of my broken leg this year. So they wanted to check that. So I was joking with Carly, like, how funny would it have been if all of a sudden they're like, hey, trade didn't go through. We don't like your x-rays. I had to, like, go back to Minnesota. But anyways, so I had to do that. And then I went to the hotel, had about 30 minutes to take a little nap and rest, and then went straight to the rink. And so I hadn't met any of the guys. I knew a couple of them, luckily, from playing juniors and things. But the weirdest part is walking in, like, I didn't even know where to go when I got to the arena. I like map the arena. I find the parking lot. I park, I go and I walk in and I literally ask the security guard where the locker room is. I was like, do you know where I'm supposed to go? And he's like, yeah, go that way. And so on. So that was kind of, you know, it was really bizarre. And then
in the locker room. Jason, how does that work, by the way? Like, do they give you a pass or do you just have to say, hey, I'm on the team. Where do I go?
Luckily they knew just because the trade just happened. So that it was kind of fresh in their minds. I don't know if they necessarily knew what I looked like, but they knew there was a new guy. And Pittsburgh's a crazy sports town. So I think everybody is very in tune with that at the rink and so on. And so luckily the guy's like, oh, hey, Jason, and like showed me where to go. So I literally walked in the locker room and I was the first one there because I had to get new gear, figure out what gear I was wearing that night, you know, helmets, gloves, pants, all that stuff. I didn't have anything. Right. And so I got there super early just because I knew I was going to have to figure that stuff out. So there's nobody in the locker room, not one player. The trainers are all hidden in their, you know, in their back rooms because no players are there yet. So I'm literally walking in the locker room. I have no idea where to go. I'm standing in the hallway and finally somebody passed me and I'm like, hey, I'm Jason. Where do I go? And he's like, yeah, just go over here and this guy's here and help you with that and so on. And so that was kind of a crazy experience just walking into a locker room I'd never been in, knowing nobody. And then slowly the players started trickling in. And so I got to meet them kind of one by one as they'd walk in the locker room. I'd pass somebody and say hi and, you know, and so on. And that was kind of the first day.
How awkward is it when you get into a new locker room and maybe you don't know all the names and faces and you're basically like, I don't know who you are, but apparently you're my new teammate.
Yeah. Well, the hockey world's pretty small. So you've at least played against them at some point, most likely. Unless it was a call up or something like that. But, you know, I knew most of the guys at least by their name, not necessarily faces to names, but I knew at least their names.
Was there a guy on that team that you had a tussle with at some point? You're like, God, this guy.
Literally the last time we played here less than a month ago, Brandon Tanev and I got into a little one. And I said a lot of things to him during that moment. And he returned the favor, of course. It wasn't just one way, but yeah, it was pretty funny. There's a lot of that, but I think guys are pretty good about, you know, letting that stuff go. And it's just, it's part of the game.
And is there actually just a protocol across maybe just the niceties that happen in the locker room where does everybody come up one by one and just introduce themselves? Or is it just sort of, how does that work? Even when you guys accept a new player, let's say when you're with the Wild.
Well, honestly, it's a little bit crazy because there's guys that won't even have seen him. So the guy that comes in is trying to get ready for a game as well, right? Practice days are a little different. But a game day, you're trying to get ready for the game. So I also have my game day routine that I'm trying to somewhat follow. And so I'm not just sitting in my stall in the locker room just waiting for people to come in. So like Chris Letang, for instance, gets to our games pretty late. So I didn't even meet him until after our pregame meeting because he was doing his thing. I was doing mine. And like I said hi to a lot of guys when I saw him around. And I tried, like I said, I got there super early to make sure that I was around more and not just hiding in the back somewhere stretching and so on. But it was really bizarre because there were certain things I wasn't a part of, I wasn't just sitting around there.
Couple of final points for Jason Zucker, and then we'll let him go. Thanks for your time, Jason. Clearly, we all know Sidney Crosby as the player. He's one of the greatest players of all time. Wherever you want to rank him is up to you. But give us something about Sidney Crosby, the man, that the average person doesn't know.
He's honestly, it's actually blown me away how nice of a person he is. So he was the first person to text me after the trade. Hmm. And just a tiny backstory on this, my brother Cameron, my younger brother, is the biggest Pittsburgh Penguins fan, and he has been his entire life. And we've given him such a hard time for that forever because Evan, my oldest brother, and I grew up Red Wings fans, and they had those 2 years where they went to the finals back-to-back years. So it was always a big battle at our house, and we've hated Pittsburgh in our house as a joke, just as a joke against Cameron because we can't be on his side with anything. So when this trade happened, he was the happiest person in the world. And so I sent him a screenshot of the text I got from Crosby, and he like lost it. He thought it was the coolest thing ever. But Sid, you know, he reached out. He was the first guy to do it. And you know, made sure that he wanted to help with anything with the move, with the family, any of that sort. But he's texted me, you know, 3-4 times during this quarantine, just checking in. Hey, how you doing? How's the family? You guys hanging in there type thing. And so he's just one of those guys that is just a super nice guy, just wants to be around the team and be around the guys and be helpful in any way that he can. So it was really cool to see that.
Jason, you've had success there. I mean, almost immediately you've gone there, you've scored goals, you've played well. Was there any part of you, just as because of human nature, that wondered after the tumultuous couple of years you've had with the Wild? I mean, you've played well, obviously, but they've been trying to trade you. Was there any part of you that was a little worried you didn't deserve to be on a line with Sidney Crosby?
You know what? It is. I mean, he's – and I'll say, you know, to your point, Corey, you know, he's – right now people say arguably one of the best in the world. Now me playing with him – I was one that said that as well. Now me playing with him, the way that he plays in all facets of the game, he is the best in the world. There's nobody – I don't think there's anybody that's close to him in that realm. And that's for a whole nother conversation, but that's how I feel. And so, to answer your question, Hawk, yes, because it was really, really bizarre. All of a sudden walking to a locker room day one and playing, I look on the screen and it's Zucker, Crosby, and Hornquist. And, you know, that was kind of a surreal moment. You know, it was pretty crazy to see that. And I immediately, you know, that day I was sitting there talking to him, trying to figure out some things on the bench, you know, tendencies that he likes or certain things he likes to do on the ice. And he kind of said, hey, just don't worry about it today. Like, just go play. He's been around trades a lot. He understands what happens and how much information you get inundated with, you know, in a short amount of time. And so he was really good about saying, hey, just leave it alone. Just go play. And as this thing develops in the next few games, we'll kind of sort and keep talking. But today, just kind of go play hockey and figure it out.
Does he play golf?
He does. He's a big golfer. Yeah, he's actually a member of a golf course out here. I think it's the Swickley Country Club, if I'm correct. I could be a little off on that, but I've heard it's a nice course. I haven't played there yet. I'll put in a good word for you.
Nice try, Sauce. No, it's not going to work. Jason, congrats on your success with Pittsburgh. Hopefully the season gets back up and running here in the next couple of months. And if not, we can check in before that, before you head back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know what? Just you guys have my phone number. Give me a call anytime. I am around Carly too much, so yeah, right. I'd be happy to step away for 5 minutes, five hours, whatever you guys want.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, thanks, Jason.
See you guys.
Jason Zucker of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Penguins. One final segment of the Power Trip Morning Show after this on the Fan.
AFAN.
Welcome back. What a big show today. Big show. Hey, Ben.
Yeah, buddy.
I was trying to get hooked up with Mr. Jason Zucker when we were talking about your fumbling problem.
Yep.
So the bane of my existence was when the coach called a waggle pass.
Okay.
Because I'd have to go out into the flats and catch a pass.
Sure.
And you think I was nervous when they tried to hand me the ball? When they were trying to throw me the ball and I was trying to run sideways at the same time and look over my shoulder?
Yeah. See, I always hated that. I always hated that because you know what happens when you do that? You catch the ball before you can get your head turned around. Someone's going to knock your legs out.
Just clobbers you.
Or just at that point in time, de-cleat you. They'll put their helmet right in your helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
And take you out. I hated that play as well. I would rather just hand the ball off and let me do my thing than to run out to the flat, turn my head around away from the defense and try to catch a ball.
Yeah, yeah. Because you couldn't help but want to take your eyes off the ball to make sure you weren't to get killed.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah, fun.
Now it's time for headlines.
Beautiful.
A study found car audio systems like Apple CarPlay and Android Auto cause drivers to be distracted for the longest amount of time, way more than texting.
Right. I would agree.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're just buried in that screen.
I love it, but I could see that that is a very distracting thing to look at. Especially like the maps and stuff.
It's the maps.
Yeah.
Because if I ever text in my car, I will do it at a red light. Right. I'm not texting while I'm actually driving. It's technically texting while driving, but I'm usually stopped somewhere. But if I got my phone out for like a maps function or... something like that. I'm constantly looking up and down, up and down.
That's why all the Luber.
Whoa!
All the way.
We're going to say Lyft.
What service is that again? Earth?
How much does that cost?
It is the best ride you can possibly imagine.
Oh, I
it is. Luber is great.
Have you had a Luber XL?
Yeah.
Let me take care of that for you, sir.
Luber is definitely the service that has been hit hardest by coronavirus. but I mean, that's why they have set the sea lion again. That's why they have those things right over the top of the steering wheel, so they basically don't have to take their eyes off the road at all. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. The Girl Scouts have stopped all in-person cookie sales, but you can still buy them online.
Oh, good.
Which is better for me, because when you're walking out of a grocery store and a kid sitting there going, "Do you want Girl Scout cookies?" It's like, oh God, take all my money. But online, I'm not going to go online and do it.
No.
Right? Got to see it and impulse buy. Today is National Doctor's Day.
Oh.
What have they ever done?
Thank you, doctors.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Doctor.
Thanks to
Oz and Phil and
Pepper and Dre.
Yeah.
Dr.
Pepper hugs.
A high school. How about this? This is terrifying. A high school wrestler in New Mexico helped stop a kidnapping by pinning down a guy who tried to take three kids at a gas station.
No.
Whoa. My
God.
That is an aggressive kidnapping attempt. I want all three.
Yeah. Very greedy.
Just go for one, dude.
Yeah.
Correct. A high school wrestler, if I could just say it, stopped him by pinning him down. Hopefully beat the hell out of him before the cops got there.
Throw a few elbows in there.
I like this one. A drunk woman in Kentucky claimed to be the mayor and tried to get a hotel room for free.
Mrs. Hockey?
Yeah.
Right. Which, on that note, by the way, it didn't work, right? They didn't believe her. On that note, we also learned in the last 20 minutes, as soon as a big trade happens in the NHL, just put on a suit, show up to the arena, and say, "I'm new guy."
Right.
Hey, and they'll let you right into the locker room.
Yeah, where's the cafeteria?
Yeah. Not glowing reviews for the Pittsburgh security system. Yeah. Where am I supposed to go? I'm on the team. Oh, whatever. Right this way.
Yeah, down to the right.
All your equipment's here. Just
I'm so surprised that they don't have a better system for guys getting traded like that.
I would think you would need some kind of liaison to meet you at your hotel That's and say, what I'll was... take you to the
right. Yeah, right.
Bob Hagen stadium. Wouldn't let that
Didn't
happen.
Hagen, right. Don't they have a Hagen that picks him up at the airport?
I would think it, he walks you to everywhere. Just not even for a safety or security reasons, just to Jason's point, where the hell am I going?
Exactly.
Where do I park?
It's Bob here. I got a question.
Okay, what's your question, Bob? Go ahead. What's your question?
Cripes, man.
Yeah. Bob Hagen.
Yeah, I know, Coach.
Yeah.
Hi, Mike. Last Coach but not Zimmer. Least.
We know. We know who it is.
Having a conversation.
Bush Beer.
Ooh, okay. Manscaped.
is giving a 3-month supply of beer to people who foster dogs, rescue dogs, during the coronavirus.
Aww.
Genius idea.
Yeah.
I've seen that a lot on Twitter, people adopting dogs or fostering dogs, because you might as well do something. You're just sitting at your house. Speaking of dogs, one of the dogs who played a dire wolf in Game of Thrones has passed away. So that's an uplifting story to...
What's your problem?
I don't know which one.
Man. Why is he laughing?
I don't know. Those are some cool dogs, though, man.
Yeah.
Found that's seven really of them. Cool. Puppies. They're just puppies.
Did you say puppy?
Hey, remember how we talked to the sheriff last week about, hey, how are they going to enforce this stay-at-home thing? Like, can you really get fined $1,000 and go 90 days in jail? And he basically said, no, but we could if we wanted to. Yeah. If you're being egregious, if you're going out of your way.
Yeah.
Well, this guy in Bloomington, Indiana, Joseph Baker, Joe Exotic is his friends call him.
Another guy from Indiana.
Right. He's 20 years old, got busted for drunk driving Wednesday night. So that's not good, right?
No.
You're underage and you're drunk driving. Well, they also popped him with the violating the stay-at-home order that went into effect on Wednesday in Indiana. Mm-hmm. So he is going to get the maximum penalty of $1,000 fine and 6 months, or up to 6 months in prison, because all of the combo, right? It's you were underage, you're drunk driving, and this is clearly egregious. So they're throwing the book at him for doing the stay-at-home thing as well.
Wow.
Bing, bang, boom.
Cops said he had absolutely no valid reason for why he was leaving the house. He was just, you know how Jason just said he wants to get out of the house to go for a drive to get away from his wife?
Yeah.
This Joseph was just getting out of the house to drink.
Yep.
I'm going to go for a nice casual drunk drive.
Bitch, you thirsty.
Yeah, right. Probably.
That's not a good
that bitch
reason.
Was
yeah.
thirsty and he had
that's
nothing
not,
to do.
Yeah, that's not an...
Bing,
that's
bang,
not,
boom.
It's not a good excuse.
So could you get in trouble for that? Could if Jason got pulled over and the cop's like, what are you doing? And he goes, honestly, I'm just getting away from my wife.
Theoretically, yeah.
Theoretically, he could be in trouble for that.
Yes.
Depends on if the officer's married.
Yeah.
And I get it completely.
And once they go, your wife is? And he says, Carly Zucker, they go... As you were.
You honestly... Yeah.
Keep driving.
Now your lie just has to be, I was on my way to Target.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Then they'll go, okay, fine. Yeah. Speaking of that, same thing. Police body cam footage of John Jones's drunk driving arrest from last week has been released. He tells the cop that he went out driving because he was, quote, stir crazy. Mm. So he did kind of play the coronavirus card, like I had to get out of the house. Too bad. Stay home.
Yeah, stay home. Stay home.
Yeah.
Too bad. All right, Ben, thanks for your time, man.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you Thursday.
See you Thursday.
Take care.
Bye, Ben. Love
you.
The
Power Trip returns tomorrow with John Bonas, Carly Zucker, Mark Rosen. That's tomorrow, 5:30 to 9. Paul Allen and Eric Nordquist are next.
I'm sure the family life made you do things you never wanted to. So I wrote this song to say thank you.
And hey, my name is Chris Hawk, and I'm here to say thank you to buildersandremodelers.com for coming to my house and putting brand new doors on my home and doing a great job with that. And I'm telling you right now, you're sitting around the house a lot, I understand, and you're saying to yourself, we need new windows. We need a new roof. The siding is flapping in the wind. The deck, we need a new deck. Whatever you need, please think of Builders and Remodelers at buildersandremodelers.com. They've been in business right here in Minneapolis since 1952, servicing all of you out there with just great, great prices and great work done by great people. So if you're in need, if there's something in the house that needs to be fixed, please think of Builders and Remodelers at buildersandremodelers.com first. They support the Power Trip Morning Show. Support them, buildersandremodelers.com.
KFAN, Total Traffic.